Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, August 10th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Got a lot of big guests, your calls, and more today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
It's another Monday, August 10th, 2026. Hard to believe we're already halfway through the year 2026. Start your engines.
The Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news, today.
Trump floundering around really does just suck all the oxygen out of the room. And we will cover some of that today, obviously, with Iran closing the strait. Again, it was never really open, and oil surging past $80 a barrel. And Trump says he should have 150% approval rating on the economy. But it's easy to just sit there and talk bad about Trump all day because he was supposedly going to be our savior. But what the Democrats, the leftists, and the globalists are doing is just unbelievable. Not just here, but around the world. We're going to be looking at a lot of that today, but also the stuff that affects everybody that really should bring, quote, left and right together. And that's things like new studies out that the drugs like Ozempic are absolutely causing mass blindness, death, you name it. What is going on there? I've got a lot there. Finally, the public is waking up to the fact that flock cameras are the tip of the Big Brother iceberg. Not taking away from the flock cameras, but the fact that their system is even far worse, and it's all being basically now activated to be used against us. Huge news on that front today. We also have the Islamic demonstrations here and all over the Western world, and what they're promising to do to bring us under Sharia law. Meanwhile, we've got an incredible viral video out of the UK where a man walks in a sporting goods store, buys a baseball bat in a plastic, you know, container, bag, box, and it's totally legal to go play baseball, and the police arrest him. But then the Muslims and 13 other groups are allowed to carry around knives and swords because it's their culture. I mean, just unbelievable stuff, ladies and gentlemen. That is all coming up today. We also have a former NBA player who's now a woman, he says. And if he says so, it must be true, who is going to try out for the WNBA, and I'm sure he'll probably win. And that's Royce White. So he's just going to pop in. Well, I say he's Royce White. He's now, what female name is he going with? Royce White. So Royce White, very beautiful young lady, stunning and brave. There you go. Oh, my goodness gracious. okay. Man, I tell you, Royce is going to be the Michael Jordan of the WNBA. Look out. In fact, this is actual footage of the tryouts that were happening. So we're going to have some fun today. As well, I got to interview Joe Kent. Great job to Brandon Strock putting on the MAGA versus America First debate. We destroyed the other side. I was obnoxious as usual. I apologize for that. But it was just the other side, though, had to admit that the war is wrong, but that we shouldn't be so mad at Trump, which at the end of the day, yeah, why do we spend all our energy? Well, because you know we're upset what Trump's done. But at the same time, I had to agree with them on that side of the debate that we better spend our time realizing that Trump's going to be gone soon and the Democrats won't have him to kick around anymore as a distraction. What do we do about them? As I just opened up the show with, I'm kind of going back to that as we go to break and join 400-plus radio stations that will be, again, joining us at the sixth half of the Don't Carry the First Five. Also, it's set to drop today, the Hunter Biden interview with Tucker. People are saying, how dare him interview him? Well, I don't have a problem with him interviewing anybody he wants. Plus, they knew each other for a long time. They grew up down the street from each other. But I do hope that the interview isn't too loving. Because as bad as Trump is, Hunter Biden and his daddy are even worse. They'll be right back. Stay with us. On the other side, massive news, your calls, special guest, and so much more. And the great voice. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
And it's time for humanity to stand up and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
The next chapter in the war for humanity's minds begins now at alexjoneslive.com. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Monday, August 10th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Very thankful that you have joined us today. We have a gigantic transmission lined up for you. A 7.4 magnitude earthquake, that's big, rocks Colombia. Another earthquake hit the Panama Canal. A lot of tectonic activity, a lot of volcanic activity increasing around the world. Experts, seismologists, are saying that California is at least 12 years overdue for a quake as big as the ones that have been hitting Venezuela, Colombia, Pakistan, Iran, you name it. A major 7.4 magnitude earthquake struck Colombia today. According to the United States Geological Survey, the tremor happened at 7:34 a.m. Colombia time. Data from the agency shows about 3 miles east of San Jose del Palmar, Colombia, about 150 miles west of Bogota, the capital. We will continue to track that and the aftermath of that. It looks particularly devastating. We pray for everyone affected by it. Okay, let me do my best here on what's coming up today. We have gigantic developments on the Flock camera saga and fiasco. We have huge Ozempic news with it doubling the chances of you going blind in major studies and research that are out there. We have what the Islamists are doing all over the world, intensifying their attacks. We have Trump thought he could open the Strait of Hormuz. He thought it was imminent. Iran had other plans. They've closed it. They're demanding massive reparations. Netanyahu last week was saying he's thinking about hitting Iran again. Here was the headline. Is Israel Netanyahu preparing to fight Iran alone? Well, I saw him yesterday in a speech in Hebrew say that, of course, we're going to hit Iran just as soon as we can. So that will probably mess up any possible deals. But the Iranians are being belligerent as well because they think they hold the cards. The Strait of Hormuz, oil's back up above $80 a barrel. This is not good, obviously, for the world economy. We'll be getting into all of that. Trump, I have video of it, will play. Says his approval rating should be 150 points when it comes to the wonderful handling of the economy. We also have a big debate going on about should Tucker Carlson have interviewed Hunter Biden? The interview drops today. We've got already a few excerpts that are out. And my answer is, yeah, interview whoever you want. I would love to interview Hunter Biden. I don't think we've ever even tried. We should try. I don't think he'll come on. But should we fawn over him the way I have seen some of the other folks that have interviewed him have done. And, I mean, I would warn Hunter up front. If he came on my show, it would not be an apology tour, or it would not be a facelift tour, masquerading as an apology tour, because the Bidens are bad news. And what's in that laptop is absolutely horrible. And all the Anthony Weiner-type Epstein stuff. That said, we don't give Trump and his people passes either. I don't think there should be passes for Hunter Biden. But though we do know that, and Tucker's never hidden this, he grew up in D.C., literally down the street from Hunter, and they weren't running buddies, but, I mean, he knew him and knew him well. So I can see why Tucker would interview him. It's a big interview. But at the same time, I can't pass judgment on it until I've seen it. But Tucker tends to be nice to people in interviews, even if he doesn't agree with them or like them. That's kind of his M.O. But I would imagine Tucker had to have asked him some tough questions as well. But I've got some of the questions that I would have asked that I'm going to be getting to today. We play a few of these excerpts. We also have more of these Muslims winning primaries. We have the far-left Senate hopeful Abdul El Said is now blasting Trump's marriage to Melania and saying that Trump isn't a pro-family person, isn't a moral person. Well, Trump never pretended to not be a playboy. I'm not defending Trump, it's just a fact. But for Muslims to point at us and talk about moral superiority when all the weird pedophilia that's baked into the Quran, the multiple wives, you can kill your wife in an honor killing, or your daughter, throw homosexuals off cliffs. I mean, it's just the pot calling the kettle black. So we'll be getting to some of that today. We also have major betrayal, of course, in the swamp. Turncoat John Thune sends Senate home for 37 days, but schedules 11 pro forma sessions to block Trump for making recess appointments, and they're still blocking, though they say they're supporting, the SAVE Act that would have voter ID, something that over 80% of American voters support. Hell, in some polls, it's over 90. But still, every Democrat is opposing it. So we'll be laying all of that out today as well and taking your phone calls. Now, I tend to always start off getting into the Strait of Hormuz and Iran and the Russia war and how deadly that is and how dangerous that is. But I'm going to table that for now until later in the broadcast and my interview that I conducted Saturday after the debates there in Dallas. I was on the panel that was America First against the MAGA, so-called MAGA pro-war panel. I don't know why we were even framing MAGA as pro-war, but I guess Trump's the leader of it, so it is. It was a pretty powerful, important interview with major updates. His predictions have all come true. He's made some new ones. That is coming up later in the transmission today. Also, California City declares state of emergency after a cyber attack on computer systems. A lot more of those have been happening. The Islamic stack is particularly important when you juxtapose it with you go to a sporting goods store, buy a legal baseball bat, the police are waiting for you to walk out, and they arrest you. But the Muslims and 13 other groups are allowed to have knives and swords as part of their, quote, religion and run around brandishing them and threatening people with them. That is all coming up as well. But the first thing I wanted to get to is the economic end. Not just the military end, but what it's doing to the economy, the Iran war, the Russia war, not just what it cost us, the hundreds of billions of dollars, but what it's doing to energy, Russia cutting energy exports, upwards of a third of the energy not going that the world gets going through the Strait of Hormuz. And then Trump over the weekend in this interview saying, when I see the polls in the economy, I should have 150 approval, not just 100. And in the real polls, he's down in the low 30s or high 20s. But CNN continues to have these weird, quote, polls that are really surveys where they call a few people that they've already talked to before who they say are MAGA, and then they come back and say, oh, look, Trump has 100% approval rating, and then Trump hangs his hat on that, believing that. A recent even CNN poll found that was actually a real poll, 23% of Americans say the economy is good, while 77% say it is poor. But Trump says, when I see polls in the economy, I should have 150 approval rating, not just 100. This is the golden age of America. Well, he was making the right moves on the economy until this war kicked in 160-something days ago. So this let-them-eat-cake attitude of don't worry about the economy and it's great isn't working. And all the studies show that if people know they've had economic problems, if you show them a way out of it and at least say you're doing something about it, then it's not as damaging to your approval rating, which translates into the midterms for Republicans. But this type of behavior and statements like, oh, you're worried about $20 burritos? Just, you know, big deal. The economy's great. Or I'm not worried about any Americans' plight in the economy. I'm worried about the war. I'm not worried about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. These are quotes. I'm worried about the war. The tone deafness of this, again, you could not come out with statements worse to hurt the Republicans in the midterms. And so is this 50,000 D chess? No, I don't think it is. So here's President Trump on what his approval rating should be. Clip 26.
But our country right now is doing better than it's ever done. You know, when I see polls on the economy, I should have 150%, not 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have the greatest. This is the golden age of America. What's being built now in this country has never, ever been built.
Yeah, Bill Gates is building nuclear reactors. They're building giant data centers everywhere and lots of warehouses. And there is a lot of committed investment coming in. So we'll see how that materializes. I'm not saying Trump isn't making a major effort, but statements about it, I should be at 150 points instead of saying, hey, the cavalry's coming, give me time. Not good. Meanwhile, Trump has squandered Republicans' typical advantage in two key areas. And that's absolutely true. I don't just believe CNN. I talk to the voters. A Reuters poll this week showed Democrats and Republicans virtually tied on war, foreign conflicts, and terrorism. The GOP led on that issue 11 points after the 2024 election and has been leading in that for over 30 years. But today, it's tied. When Trump got reelected almost 2 years ago, he had the highest approval rating of any Republican since polling began, only matched at one point by Richard Nixon. And for the first time ever, Republican voters were the majority of voters, and blue-collar Americans identified as Republican over Democrat by over 10 points. That's now been eroded back. And the Democrats are now in that position, which is unbelievable. Because if you just expose how communist and socialist and pro-Islamic they are, and their horrible economic plans that are designed to make people dependent, and just with how they've destroyed the areas they control, if we just had Republicans with even better messaging, even with the unpopular war and things like that, we would not be in this position. And I kind of already said that, but I pulled so much of my hair out, I don't have any hair left on top of my head. And that's really what came out of the debate that's going to air in about a week and a half or so. It's 5 hours long. They're going to edit down about 4 hours that Brandon Strock put on. It was excellent. The other side had to basically admit that the war is a fiasco, a disaster, and wrong, but just that we shouldn't be so angry at Trump and should worry more about Democrats, which... It's a paradox. I mean, the war could get us all killed in a nuclear war. It's definitely killing the recovery. It's definitely letting a foreign power control our foreign policy. But it is true that what are you going to do about the Democrats? It doesn't mean you support what Trump's doing. It's just you've got to balance how much time and energy, I'm talking to myself right now, we spend on the terrible decisions of Trump in the last year or so, with what are we going to do about the Democrats? Because for me, that's really the big issue. And when we see the embracing of Hunter Biden and the footsie, you know, friendly interviews with Candace Owens and with, you know, even Nick Fuentes, I mean, I guess that's how you get the interview. So it's just about having a viral interview so you're nice to Hunter Biden? I mean, Hunter Biden, I've looked at the laptop. It's pedophilic. It's disgusting. It's crackhead behavior. But it's talking to Chinese head of intelligence. It's admitting that they're working with foreign governments against the U.S. It's treason. And then we all got censored and attacked exposing the laptop. And we watched the Bidens with the globalists steal the 2020 election and then persecute J6ers and everything else we've seen. I mean, that was the Biden administration and Pelosi and all that with the Fedsurrection and all the things they did. And we cannot forget the things they engaged in. And I want to be clear. I love Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson stood up for me whenever I was being censored and no other big host would. I'm friends with him. I think it's fine for him to interview Hunter Biden, interview whoever he wants. I would interview Hunter Biden if he wants to come on the show, but I'm not going to ask him softballs. And I don't know what the interview that could drop any time, they say it drops today, is going to entail. And the two did grow up down the street from each other. They knew each other. They weren't really, I guess, friends, but that's what Tucker said. But, you know, they were friendly. They weren't running buddies. So, and Tucker tends to be, you know, friendly, even people he's adversarial with. That's his M.O. He's a gentleman. So I'm going to wait and watch the interview. And I'm not going to even be mad at Tucker if he did a softball. My point is that in general, this is emblematic of just because we all feel betrayed by Trump and just because he's done a bunch of stuff we don't like, the Democrats are not our friends. And Trump's going away. MAGA has been tainted. The war is what will always be brought up now. All the insider trading and the setting up a Truth Social for $100,000 a month where you subscribe and they give you insider information on Trump's decisions before he makes them so you can get ahead in the market. I mean, that's flagrant. Flagrant insider trading hidden in plain view. And I guess he can pardon himself and everybody so they think it's okay. But just because the Democrats are world champion insider traders and just because they're horrible, evil people, doesn't mean I'm going to sit back and say, well, he's our guy. It's okay. But when I'm going to be bashing Trump for the record level insider trading and all the rest of it, I'm going to be doing it to Pelosi and to Gavin Newsom and to this guy on screen. I mean, so there really is a, not by Tucker, but by just a lot of populist and conservatives and America firsters, where we attack Trump and then he attacks us back and then we attack and he attacks and nobody remembers who attacked first and it becomes a circular firing squad. And I understand the personality of Trump has become toxic and radioactive for many, but moving past that, he's gone in 2 years. And so J.D. Vance, as I said a year ago, needs to start decoupling himself from Trump as much as he can diplomatically so he doesn't get all of that taint so he can beat Marco Rubio in the primaries. And you say, oh, they're all bad. You're getting fooled again. No, I'm not. I definitely, out of the field of Republicans, want a J.D. Vance over a Marco neocon Rubio. I mean, come on. I mean, today, if you could vote again, would you vote for Trump or Kamala Harris? I would still vote for Trump. It's not that I'm con. It's not that I'm drinking the Kool-Aid or I'm an idiot. If that's the only choices you've got, and Kamala had said she was going to go to full war with Iran as well, she can barely even talk. Now, that's not an endorsement of the Iran war. I'm talking about if you had those two choices with at least the border shut down, at least there's some deportations, at least there are trillions of dollars of investments coming into the country. I'm talking about being honest in the real world. Would you not vote? Or would you go vote for Kamala? Or would you vote for Trump? And I'm going to open the phones up in the next hour, and I'm going to ask you all that question. Because I'm just being honest here. But then the more I think about it, the NDAA handing over the Pentagon and intelligence to the Israelis is so treasonous. Maybe I just wouldn't vote, just so I spiritually wouldn't be involved in voting for, you know, would you vote for Stalin or Hitler? Man, this is bad. Because I'm literally just wargaming this in my head right now. That's why I'm opening the phones up and discuss this with listeners, because I really want to bounce stuff off of you and bounce stuff off of me and, like, try to decide what the hell to do here. Because I start saying, oh, I'd vote for Trump, and I'm like, actually, well, no, I wouldn't. Maybe Nick Fuentes is right. Maybe just let it get worse before it gets better. But things are so dangerous, I don't know if that's copping out. I'm not saying Nick's copping out. I'm saying I'm very decisive on things like drag queen story time or starting a war with Iran or Russia or getting rid of the IRS and getting rid of the 16th Amendment, you know, abolishing the private Federal Reserve, getting power back to the states. I mean, I'm very decisive on 99% of stuff. But when you do get down to brass tacks on things like this, I don't know. I don't know. So we better have a larger debate about this. And I don't just mean today. I mean ongoing. What do we do with the end of the Trump era? We got to start getting positioned yesterday for what's happening and the Democrats, because we know we've got a lot better Republican candidates and local Republicans and state Republicans and congressional Republicans. We got a bunch of bad ones, too. But it's night and day, the Republican field we've got compared to the Democrats. And I don't want Trump and all of his terrible missteps and terrible statements to take the oxygen out of the room. I want to like triage him, quarantine him politically and say he doesn't represent real America first. And we're going to go in and try to salvage what we can at the state and federal level as some type of defense against the globalist BlackRock, WF, UN, Red Green Alliance juggernaut. Because we won the debate on the war in Iran being wrong and a setup and Israel first and dangerous against the other panel. But listening to them point out, okay, what are you going to do then? We better start having a next phase strategy. I agree with them. But then that comes down to, is it neocon MAGA or is it going to be America first? Well, then what is America first? There's that larger debate about that. So definitely the revolution against globalist tyranny has its shot in populist, right-wing, nationalist parties worldwide. That's why the globalists are attacking it. And so we better, as a strategy, start hammering that and wargaming that and getting that front and center in our minds. Because it's too easy just to look at the latest misstep of Trump or his comb over flying around or, you know, the ridiculous stunts of his cabinet and the rest of it, and just be hurt by that, and then be holier than thou, and spend 90% of our time on it. I'm still going to spend time on it, don't worry. That's what I do. But at the same time, we better be talking about the future and what's coming down the pike against us now. We're going to go to break with a short clip of Hunter Biden Tucker that's about to drop. First look, here it is.
I haven't seen you in 11 years, though I've talked about you. Hunter Biden.
I love Candace.
I do too. Yeah.
I like Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene. I like that there are people that have kind of woken up.
I have really only one question, one thing that has bothered me. So I just want to ask you point blank, did you drop off laptops?
No, no. The answer is no. I say to everybody, okay, show me your phone because I showed you mine and you didn't find thing.
We get approached by Israelis connected to Benjamin Netanyahu who are shopping this stuff to me at Fox News. The way that it entered the bloodstream
exactly.
of the American media was not real.
I don't have any more secrets. Donald Trump, I think he had such an opportunity, he just decided that all he was going to do was for himself.
One of my closest friends went off the deep end, and all of a sudden Trump's under the bed, and it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
He was under my bed. just we are at an inflection point in this country.
What's your plan?
We are in desperate, desperate need of leadership.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we'll send you some methylene blue, and if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically that Power Plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Male Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, the absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the Zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit Complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things, theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the ultimate power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins, memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Coming at you live
from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a global exclusive for you. Royce White is a woman who is stunning and brave. And we have this exclusive breaking news. Last night, Royce White hosted 2 hours of Sunday Night Live, and she announced her plan to go into the WNBA draft, the women's NBA. And here's the Gateway Pundit has picked up the story. Former NBA player Royce White, now a woman, throws her wig and everything else she's got into the ring and embraces her feminine era ahead of 2027 NBA draft bid. So Royce White joins us right now to give us more details of this. And, of course, this is serious. Royce is formerly a male, but switched out, you know, the chromosomes, the X and Ys, and moved those around. And we have to support this when we support biological men in boxing and in MMA and in track and field and in everything else. And so this is a very serious move by former Royce White, now Royce White. And so I'm wondering if the WNBA is going to try to block this. We actually have some footage that we'll also be showing you of Royce actually on the basketball court in some of the earlier tryouts and what unfolded there. So we were showing some of that earlier before Royce joined us, but I do want to show that again. Royce, I want to just say that, ma'am, it is a honor to have you. And I just can't wait to see you be the number one woman in the WNBA. You know, I know you're a great basketball player, did pretty good against the men there. I wouldn't say you're up there at Michael Jordan level, but I think you will be the Michael Jordan of the WNBA. So congratulations, ma'am. And I just want to say that I think you're stunning and brave.
Well, thank you, Alex. And I appreciate you allowing me to tell a little bit of my story, my trans story last night live on air. You are very tolerant. You know, I know they give you a lot of flack for being this far right extremist, this conspiracy theorist. But most of the hate that I've received, you know, in these early days has been from the left and people who I would consider allies. So I really want to say I appreciate you giving me a platform and allowing me to tell my trans story last night and again today. It's a true honor.
Well, I just totally embrace it. I mean, I think that you can't be selective about this. I think anybody that wants to be a woman should be a woman, and I think you should be able to have a baby. And I think that if you want to go into a gynecologist and demand they do a pap smear on you, nurses and doctors get fired that refuse to do it on biological males, I think they should do it. And so why did you decide to do this? Tell us about your journey. And I wonder if you'll be on the cover of Time Magazine, Newsweek, like we saw you know, previously with other Olympic athletes, males that became females. I mean, tell us about this incredible thing you've done.
Well, first, I have to pay homage to my ancestors and all of the strong black women that came before me, because there are so many strong black women that came before me. And, it's interesting. I'm getting all these calls. My friends are saying, is this serious? Are you really going to play? I think we should get a shot. I don't understand why the WNBA would be against it. And again, to be clear, I just want to be clear for everybody out there, because I know this gets kind of complicated, but I am a sometimes identifying as a black transgender lesbian, just so we're clear about the specifics. Cause I know in my new community, the trans community, the identifiers and the terms are so important. I am a sometimes identifying as a black transgender lesbian. But I'm getting all these calls and people are saying, well, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you really going to play? Of course I'm going to play. Why wouldn't I get an opportunity to play with my fellow queens, you know, in my feminine era and during my glow up?
Well, there are other very masculine women in weightlifting, in the different contact combat sports, literally breaking women's jaws. So, yeah. I mean, I don't see a problem with this. This is, you're not going to be breaking women's jaws. Well, I mean, I guess if they're white players, though, it'll be okay. Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, you know, but, you know, basketball is a partial contact sport. It's not a full contact sport like the combat sports. But, hey, I mean, maybe if I could lose the weight and get down to, I don't know what it is, 155, I think. 155, 165 is the heaviest women's division in mixed martial arts or combat sports in the UFC. Maybe if I get down to 165, without killing myself, Dana White will let me participate in the women's division of the UFC.
You'd probably become the heavyweight champion.
Well, I think they have to create a new division. I don't even think there are many women that would be in the 260 plus pound division. But that's combat sports. We're talking basketball. I mean, basketball is a whole different proposition, right? And we're only going to make the game better. This is going to elevate the game. People have to understand. and I say this with all seriousness, men playing in the WNBA will undoubtedly make the WNBA a better league. And when I say men because, you know, there are people who are assigned male at birth. I was assigned male at birth. I was wrongly assigned male at birth. I've been a transgender woman caged for my whole life, and I didn't even know it. I trusted the science. I went through, elementary school and whatnot, and they used to say, these are men, these are women, you're a boy, you're a girl. Even in the school, they had the bathrooms. They were separated by boys and girls, and I really feel taken advantage of the American education system because, I mean, I came from the millennial generation, and we were lied to. We were lied to. The science, we could not trust our science when I was growing up. The science was wrong. The science was wrong. And now that I'm liberated, all I can say to everybody else out there is, you know, I'm every woman, like the great Shaka Khan once proclaimed.
So for people that don't know how the WNBA draft works, I mean, I guess you're going to go file for it. You're going to try out for it. And hopefully they're not going to try to block you because all the other biological men, all these sports, they just let them come on in and even break women's jaws and stuff. And then even in Canada, they let 56-year-old men compete in girls' middle school and high school swimming now. They don't just identify as women. They identify as teenagers. I think you should probably, you know, in your part time, maybe you should maybe even play high school basketball against girls.
Well, the sky's the limit, right? In the NCAA, they're having all these conversations about eligibility. I think I still have some eligibility left in college. Actually, I think I still have a few years of eligibility left in college. I think you can go back and use your eligibility in a different sport, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, maybe lacrosse or rugby or one of these sports like that. Yeah, sure. I mean, the sky's the limit. We're breaking ground here. We are shattering cultural barriers, things that should have been shattered long, long ago. And I'm just proud. I mean, I'm standing on the shoulders of Dennis Rodman and Juwanna Mann and many other, non-binary and gender fluid individuals that came before me.
Are you going to file a lawsuit of the WNBA tries to keep you out of the draft? Because, I mean, I know you've been in the NBA and you made it in the draft. So people that don't know how this works, what are the hurdles you face because of the still institutional suppression of the trans community in the WNBA?
Well, we have to go through the legal process, yeah. And I have my legal team looking into it. I've had great legal minds like Leo Terrell offer to help with any civil rights discrimination cases that may come up in this situation. And ultimately, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see the determination made by the WNBA here. I'm glued to my seat like everybody else to try and figure out what are the parameters, the real criteria for eligibility in some of these professional leagues. I want a chance to play. I think Enos should get a chance to play. I think any person who genuinely feels like a woman deep down should get a chance to play. And, that's my hope. Hopefully I end up at the Minnesota Lynx. I'm a hometown guy through and through. And, you know, we got our primary tomorrow, August 11th, myself, the great Mike Lindell, running to try and secure the nomination on the Republican side. I may even be the first sometimes identifying as a black. I'm sorry. I'm new to the wig, so I'm just seeing in the camera here. I just try and make it look glowy.
Yeah, yours isn't real like Owen Schroyer. In fact, that's a little secret. I've heard that Owen's preparing to announce that he is going to enter women's sports as well as a woman.
Can Owen play a little bit? I've never seen. Can Owen ball? Can Owen hoop?
Yeah, you know, he may be about to pull. In fact, I heard he's going to try out for the women's NBA as well. That's why he's got not the wig. He grew the real blonde hair out.
Oh, yeah. He's got the blonde deal going. I saw that.
Yeah, like Joy Reid.
Oh, the black women, we love a white woman's hair. We love a good white woman's wig. I mean, you know, cultural appropriation only works in one direction. If you're white and you appropriate black people's culture, that is an aphomnia, right? But if you're black, you're just getting retribution for 500 years of systemic oppression. So, I was just thinking about it this morning, like I may actually end up being the first sometimes identifying as a black trans lesbian in the United States Senate. And how could the Democrats who are going to go vote tomorrow in our primary not get behind me as well?
And again, what is Owen's new female name? He needs one. What is the female version of Owen?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm very careful with people's names and their pronouns because I'm new here. I don't presume to.
Well,
to
you
know
can also get arrested. You can get arrested in some countries or states for mispronouncing. So he might be two spirits. He might be something else. We don't know.
I'm Roysha, by the way. I think you misspelled it. It's R-O-Y-S-H-A, and my pronouns are pay me.
I'm sorry. Let's put your name back on screen for TV viewers. I apologize. I can barely speak English, much less any other language. Royce White, you're formerly Royce White. You're now what?
Roysha. Yeah.
Roysha.
That's my dead name. I think that's what they call it, your dead name.
Oh, I just dead-named you. I'm sorry. In fact, that's punishable by jail in California. I just committed a crime in California.
Well, we're friends, so it's cool. It's cool, Alex. We're friends, so it's all good, you know. But just so you know, for future reference, in dealing with the trans community, I think that's considered my dead name. I'm not 100% accurate, though, because I'm new here. But the new name is Roysha, R-O-Y-S-H-A, Roysha, and my pronouns are Pei and me.
Man, I didn't just dead name you. I got the name wrong. Okay. I'm sorry. Remember the big ex-con in there screaming, it's ma'am? And if, ooh, what would my name be?
Well, you got to go with Alexandria, right?
Alexandra. And
yeah.
I kind of look like a young, what's the White House chief of staff name? I kind of look like a young version. No, that's the press secretary. It doesn't matter. That's not the chief of staff. I look like Caroline Leavitt.
Susie Wiles is the chief of staff.
That's right. Yeah, Susie Wiles. I look like a young Susie Wiles. Yeah. There you go. That doesn't look like me. Okay, that's enough. Oh, that's Owen as a woman. Okay, there you go. Royce, I'm sorry. I just did it again. All right, now you're mad. That was not on purpose. That was an accident. Royce,
Alex, I'm not your typical trans, sometimes identifying as a transgender black lesbian. I'm not typical in that I have some thick skin and I'm new here. So how could I, if I'm just coming to grips with my inner self, how could I demand that everybody else be used to calling me by my new name and not my dead name?
Well, I know you're serious about this. So what if the NBA, what if you legally win this and you get in the NBA? I think you're going to be pretty damn good. I think you'd probably be hands down, you'd be the dominant player, won't you?
Yeah, I think I should be the number one pick, and I plan to bring a level of integrity and selflessness and work ethic and discipline to the WNBA to try and help elevate my team to a championship, propel them to a championship, but as well as elevate the entire league and put a spotlight on all these other women, all these other beautiful, beautiful, talented, skilled women who have worked their entire lives to make it to this point. I just want to put a spotlight on them and help elevate them.
Oh, it's going to elevate them. Now, in trans sports, when the biological males beat up women, the media always says it's no big deal. But I've noticed when women get a little too aggressive in women's sports to women, then it's wrong. I like that. So I think you'll be able to go full power and just run these women over. And because you're trans, the media won't be able to say anything. I think it's going to give you an even bigger edge. I mean, you might end up putting 200 points on the board easily against an entire woman's team if you're allowed to just run them over, too.
Well, Alex, iron sharpens iron. I mean, all these other beautiful queens in the WNBA. I'm sorry, again, the hair is just new for me. It's getting in my eyes. All these other beautiful queens in the WNBA have to embrace the rise in competition, the elevation of the competition. And that's just going to only make them tougher and better players. And, you know, if they can't deal with that, if they can't handle a little physicality from a person assigned male at birth, you know, then they got to really look in the mirror and ask themselves, is basketball, professional basketball, the sport for them?
Well, what about this issue that's been raised? It's already happening in track and field where almost all the winners are biological males. Won't we get to a point where it's all biological males in the WNBA, and so biological women will not be able to be in professional sports? I mean, the natural evolution is there will be a certain number of biological men who are stunning and brave who will decide they're just going to take over all the sports, and the biological women will not be anywhere in sports. Is that not the ultimate form and expression of feminism, that no biological women will be able to compete at any level of sports?
Well, you know, ultimately, that's a decision that people assigned female at birth are going to have to have to band together and figure out. It's not for me. I'm a sometimes identifying as a black transgender lesbian. That conversation, that decision, I think personally is something that's going to, you know, be made collectively by people assigned female at birth. And they're going to have to decide whether or not any institutions for females, you know, women assigned female at birth are valuable anymore. I don't think, you know, why do we need those? We should just make the game as entertaining as possible, as valuable as possible, right? As profitable as possible. It's obvious that if LeBron James and me and Enos and Kyrie Irving or any of the other, men assigned male at birth people, players decide to come over, the game will be much more entertaining and much more competitive. Much more equal, for sure.
Well, sure, but doesn't the NBA make like 3-4 times the money of the WNBA? And the players that do make the money are under attack, so... I mean, at the same time, if it is all biological male, then by extension, it will end up being more successful. And plus, we all know from Gamergate and the Hollywood funding and the ESG scores through BlackRock that Hollywood always shows women as physically as strong or stronger than men. We all know that's true. So if women don't like men taking over women's sports, they can just go take over men's sports. I mean, because there's no biological difference. Women are just as strong as men. Why don't they just buck up and take over men's sports?
Absolutely. It's a fair question. And I'd love to see some of the women. I mean, maybe this breaks the mold and we'll find here in the very near future, some women declare for the NBA draft. Some women decide that they believe they can play in the National Basketball Association with the assigned male at birth people. And maybe some of them will make it. Maybe a few of them will make it and they'll prove us all wrong. We are in a proving grounds right now when it comes to professional sports and gender binary norms, cis normative ideas.
Now you're on the ballot as a toxic male still, but as you said, you're going to flip back and forth in these identities. There's a big primary election in Minnesota. Tell us about that. And are you? I don't want to dead name you again, but are you that previous dead name on the ballot?
Well, I haven't had a chance to. This is all very new. This is a new revelation, so I haven't reached out to the Secretary of State, but I'm sure if I did, Steve Simon, who's always been a huge advocate of the transgenders, will be open to a discussion about trying to get my name changed on as many ballots as possible. We know they like to change ballots and do things on game day when it comes to elections. So we'll see. I mean, to me, this is even bigger than politics. This is even bigger than elections. What I'm doing is so brave. What I'm doing is so brave, and any of these other people out there that have the courage to come forward and be their authentic, genuine self, this transcends politics, you know. But as far as politics go, politics is still important. I'm also pro-life, avidly pro-life, which I think is a little unique for sometimes identifying as a black transgender lesbian. But I'm very, very pro-life, And I was in a debate recently. I think you're playing the footage now at an event called Farm Fest here in Minnesota. And at the end of the debate, I stood and I said, the sanctity of life is an integral piece to all of our morals and ethics and human rights. And I asked everybody in the audience to stand up if they valued the sanctity of life. And I was the only woman on stage that stood. And I just found that to be shocking, especially since, as you see, Michelle Tafoya, my conservative opponent claims to be at least running on a Judeo-Christian platform. It's always held pro-life up as a pillar of the platform. I guess tomorrow we're going to really get to see, at least on the United States Senate side of the Republican Party, if pro-life is still a pillar of the conservative platform.
All right. Royce, I know you got to go. You're on a really tough time schedule here. But if you could hold through just a few minutes to the break, I want to maybe have the old Royce White, you know, with the wig came off, just talk a little more seriously about the campaign, also about Trump, the war. Just a few minutes on that. Can you stay till 5 minutes in next hour?
Anything for you, Alex.
All right, you're the best. I know you got a big schedule as Reisha. And, of course, as absurd as all this is being taken seriously when they want to do it. So they can't have it both ways. And there's a bunch of men trying to come into the WNBA right now. And they're actually debating what they're going to do. So we'll finish up with that when we come back. Then I'm going to shift gears into all the other news, your phone calls, and so much more today. But listen, I'm not funded by the Israelis, by the Qataris, by the Republicans, by the Democrats. I'm funded by you, and we make it easy with great products that you're really going to love at thealexjonesstore.com. And this only happens for 1 week, once a month, where you can get put in the sweepstakes 100x every time you spend $1 in the sweepstakes to win both of the off-road super vehicles right now. But this runs until Friday, and that's it. So there's just 1 week each month where you get put in to beat both vehicles and $20,000 cash, not just one of the vehicles. So take advantage of that at thealexjonesstore.com, and that funds our entire operation. We've got the 2026 Ram Laramie 250. Or 2,500, 2,500. We have the 2026 Ford Super Duty F-250 and plus $20,000 cash at thealexjonesstore.com. And you get put in, again, 100x entries every time you spend a dollar on the store. People love these sweepstakes. It was Bigley's idea. We've given away, I don't know, dozens of vehicles now. They give away a vehicle every 2 months. Now it's every month because people love it. So take advantage of that. There's also a free murdered out limited edition Alex Jones Live cooler with every order of $100 or more. That's limited edition while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com. But the real reason to go there is it funds the operation and the supplements work so incredibly well. The Mega Summer Markdown Sale is live now. Ultimate Irish Sea Moss Capsules. Incredible what they do for your whole body. Stamina, libido, energy, you name it. 50% off. Creatine Power to the highest quality. 50% off. The turmeric gummies are amazing for inflammation, pain, you name it. They are 50% off. And it goes on. Our Superfood Greens Concentrate Gummies, 50% off. Shilajit Capsules, major discount. Turmeric Tincture, major discount. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And that's what funds our operation. Be sure and check out the widest selection of Patriot Apparel while you're there on the site as well, thealexjonesstore.com. And we're in a fundraising pattern. I want to add more hosts, more guests, more crew, more reporters. I want to be bigger than InfoWars ever was. And we're having some major victories behind the scenes I'm not yet ready to announce. The next few weeks you're going to hear about in our legal battles. Just wait. Okay. I'll leave it at that. just wait. So you know we've had a huge effect in the past. You know we're hardcore battling the globalists at every level. Major game changers. You are the game changer. You are the info war. You are this operation. So please support us and get great products at the same time. If you get one product, you get ultramethylene blue. Incredible. Incredible energy, but it's not a stimulant. No letdown. Get ultramethylene blue, the tincture or the capsules. And the gummies are back in methylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com. Back in 2 minutes with Royce or whatever her name is.
Planet Earth, filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultramethylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
New grape flavor, bovine colostrum gummies! Yeah, baby! Yeah, these are the best! Support your gut with these grape gummies! Get yours now!
All-new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh, yeah, baby.
The globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Royce White is our guest, and he is now transitioning in one of his identities to be a woman in the WNBA, just to illustrate what's going on here. But he's also running for national office. And so just talking about that, Mike Lindell, what are you expecting? What can people do? And then give us your take overall, just a snapshot of MAGA, of Trump and Iran, and where this is all going, and how do we start transitioning 2 years out from the end of the MAGA era, and I think bring in America first, and not just get so upset about Trump. I mean, we're obviously upset, but we obviously resist some of the bad things he's doing, but at the same time, don't embrace Democrats just out of our anger of Trump, because I'm seeing some of that, and it makes no sense, Royce.
Well, at least on the campaign trail, I've been focusing on three issues. Just keep it simple. Secure the elections, restart and finish the mass deportations, and we have to arrest some of these deep state traitors. Got to arrest some of these deep state traitors. There have to be arrests. If there aren't going to be significant arrests, the entire justice system and justice as an idea is undermined. So those are the things we have to do first. I'm all, you know, very vocal about my thought that we should have term limits. We should ban Marxism and Sharia law nationwide, and I think we should ban PACs and lobbies as well. So those are controversial takes. It shouldn't be. I don't think they should be, but they certainly would be in mainstream politics or from mainstream candidates. But those are my focus areas on the campaign trail. And then I always go back to reference St. Augustine. As far as the war goes and foreign policy as a whole, in the City of God, St. Augustine writes, "A brief and true definition of virtue is rightly ordered love." Rightly ordered love, ordo amoris, and later the great St. Thomas Aquinas would expand on it and say, ordo caritatis, there's rightly ordered love and there's rightly ordered charity. And it's one of the most brilliant ideas outside of the gospel, where they use a geometric example to illustrate it. And they say the rightful order of things is God at the center, and it expands outward in concentric circles, that which is most local to you first. Never surrendering your near duties for faraway causes. And I don't think anybody could argue that America's foreign policy, which is for the most part dominated all of our policy, is a good example of wrongly ordered virtue. Apropos to my opponent, Michelle Tafoya, who was hand-selected, recruited by Tim Scott, who I remember saying on the 2024 presidential campaign trail, we must always be ready to fight a three-front war in Asia. We must always be ready to fight a three-front war in Asia. Now, the conventional wisdom of yesteryear was never getting to a land war in Asia. People like Tim Scott, Michelle Tafoya, and the rest of the traitors around President Trump who are advising him on some of these matters want us in a war in Asia on three fronts at all times. I mean, it's absolutely it's lunacy.
It is. And what about the civil war inside the Republican Party? Right now, I mean,
beautiful.
Yeah, but it's good to be having that debate about what we stand for.
Beautiful. We need it. I mean, we got to go through some civil wars. Look, the reason the Chinese have an advantage on us is because we're a nation of corrupt lawyers. We claim to be a nation of rule of law, but we're a nation of corrupt lawyers, ruled by lawyers, corrupt lawyers. And China's a nation ruled by, let's call them, technocratic dictatorial engineers. And so they have a very clear advantage. Another advantage is, culturally speaking, they're a much older civilization than ours, and they've gone through those civil wars. They've sorted these things out, and now they're organized around a principle that says China and the Chinese people have the mandate from heaven, and their race, their ethno-nationality is supreme.
That's right. That's why the globalists undermine nationalism and any type of identity, is because if you don't have that, you don't have the building blocks for anything. Royce White, we're supporting you. We love you. We appreciate you. Great job on all the work you do, and hosting Sunday Night Live every Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you, Royce White.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back with massive news on flock cameras and more. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health. To cover today, 3 hours of the transmission left. I intend to open the phones up on a host of big issues here in just a few minutes. But if you're a TV viewer, you can see this footage that went mega viral. I mean, I saw dozens of versions of it with 10 million, 5 million views apiece. First saw it posted by Tommy Robinson, and it's now in the newspapers over there. He walks out of a sporting goods store in England, a white guy. And you can see the baseball bat's got a plastic bag on it from the store. They're selling the legal baseball bat. And the police officer, who doesn't look like he's from the UK, of course, most of the police now aren't, he starts attacking the guy. The guy's trying to give him his receipt and talk to him. And it goes on, and they end up tackling him. More police come. They arrest him. All the rest of it. And, of course, citizens start helping. And 13 groups in the UK, who none of them are white, are allowed to, quote, carry knives and swords, Sikhs amongst them, because, quote, it's part of their culture. And now you see it in Canada and the U.S. where they wear swords and knives and come into the gym and are doing these dances with their weapons and being provocative. And it's all about in your face. It's all about blocking highways for the Muslim, call to prayer, and all the rest of it. And so now you see a plainclothes cop helping arrest the guy. And then here come more police because it's open season on white people. It's actually in the national rules, even for the local police. If you're a white guy and you're stabbed by a Sikh for no reason, help me, I'm bleeding to death. They go, nope, you're white, we're not going to help you. So you cannot buy a legal baseball bat and then walk out of the store with it because they choose to say you're out there being violent, you're out there being bad, even though 90% of the crime, roughly, is foreigners in Europe, in the UK. Absolute state of the country, Tommy Robinson says. Young lad purchases a baseball bat in modern England. As soon as he leaves the store, police grab him for carrying a weapon. This bat is literally still in the plastic covering until they pull it off. So, and I've seen articles, stories where a guy had a Zelda plastic video game sword. I'm not into plastic video game toys, but I know enough about the genre. It's been going on since I was a kid. That with a video game you like, sometimes you can order or buy, I've been in stores that have video game sections and you see lots of toys that are sold with it. I've actually seen the Zelda sword in the store. Little plastic sword that a girl carries in one of these Dungeons and Dragons type games. I mean, it was even around when I was a kid. I didn't really play it, but I've seen it. And oh my God, you posted on Instagram your Zelda sword at your house. We're going to SWAT team you because you've got a plastic sword.
And we've shown you countless videos of where a street preacher who's white is preaching, and the, you know, the Muslims beat him up, and, well, he goes to jail. So just absolutely insane. Meanwhile, yeah, let's show this. This is footage, and we'll play this with audio. This just came out yesterday. Africans at a migrant camp in northern France, and the France government brings them across, ready to enter the UK. The Marxists say, you're racist for not wanting this in your once-safe country. We never had machete crimes in Australia until the government mass-imported Africans. This is an Australian talking about what's happening in the UK. Now we see daily violent machete crimes and stabbing. So this is all A-OK, but getting a baseball bat isn't. And we have countless video of in Germany and France, the UK, of Muslims stabbing police officers in the neck. Remember this famous case a few months ago where the Muslims run around trying to stab people, so folks are fighting back against them. And then they even try to help the cop, but he gets stabbed to death. Let me show you an overhead shot of this just to remind people of the type of stuff that we are dealing with. And we just saw the massive invasion of Spanish Morocco in the last few weeks. We have national ads like this being run. Racism has no place in the UK. Help Muslims relocate to where we need them most. Traditional communities, rural areas of schools, towns and diversity needs. The government says we need to get diversity in the little towns with people from completely different cultures who are military-age men. And they use little girls for years. This is recent in the advertisement of please come here. Cannot make this up. And I've got a whole stack on the Islamic uprisings that are intensifying, but they're even putting these up in the U.S. now. This is in the U.K. Trafalgar Square, right in the middle of London, now completely encased in diversity barriers, freedom barriers. Our leaders are barricading us in rather than barricading them out, all while promoting diversity as our strength. And they've got everything encircled by metal and stone barriers now because these vehicles just keep running over men, women, and children while people scream, Allah, Allah Akbar. So more on the Islamic intensification of their flaunting their power, basically showing their territorial dominance coming up. But first, let's get into Flock. Now, I'm very excited that people are waking up to the surveillance state. I'm very excited that you've got people involved in civil disobedience because it shows we're not dead yet. We're not spiritually dead. And that humans, if needed be, can rise up against the technocracy and dismantle it very, very quickly. But we've seen since ICE has been using flock cameras and other face scanning and license plate reading systems that have been put in for decades on the illegal aliens, suddenly the Democrat cities are voting to remove them. And my point is that you need to know that Flock is only one small part of other systems like Ring, Axon, and others, and that all of your cell phones are way more advanced than even Flock and can even tell what your heartbeat is, and that this is all being scooped up into government and corporate databases. And so when I've come out and pointed this out, people have taken the clips out of context and said, look, Jones is defending Flock. He's not saying it's a big deal. I never said any such thing. When people got upset about Palantir and the AI tracking and the integrated systems it's using out of a bunch of databases, I said, listen, you know that Palantir's expanding. You know Palantir's getting government contracts. Your criticisms and concerns, I think, are very valid. But you do know statistically they're a small percentage of similar systems with Oracle, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, governmental systems. So here are some of those. And then the usual suspects would take the clips out of context and say that I was covering up for Palantir. When I was doing no such thing, I was explaining, hey, your Alexa in your house is listening to everything you do for 15 years. Hey, the Google Assistant's doing that. All the cars by law have kill switches and cameras in the dash watching you. Meta glasses. Their employees have blown the whistle that AI is watching everything you do and sending it back for humans to watch it not just here, but in their data centers and their censorship centers around the world. So please get upset about Flock. But there's dozens of other companies that are on the same towers in most cases that are grabbing all of your metadata, your digital data off your phone, off your car, and other embedded chips that are even in the tires of most cars. Be aware of this giant mega rollout where all these systems dial in together into NSA and corporate databases for control that makes Flock look weak. Because Flock is only one tooth in the shark's jaws. There's a whole bunch of teeth. And I'm simply trying to get you to pull back from the one tooth you're looking at with a magnifying glass and seeing the big picture and realizing the only reason you got pushed back on Flock, as I pointed out months ago, is because it's being used by law enforcement, in some cases wrongly, and mainly against the illegal aliens and their supporters. So they just want to intimidate the company so it stops allowing that. Then they'll let them go on and surveil the rest of us. Kind of like, oh, you're white? You bought a baseball bat? You go to jail. You're not? You can have the baseball bat. It's all about, under globalism, it's all about selective enforcement. It's this anarchic type of tyranny where they pass draconian laws but only enforce it on certain people. And I've been hammering this and hammering this and hammering this, and most people couldn't seem to understand it. Well, now I'm seeing talk show hosts and influencers and journalists pointing this out, and that's good. And they're also pointing out that a lot of the agendas, which doesn't endorse Flock and doesn't endorse Palantir, who's at one level involved, it's being done by bigger corporations, BlackRock, who owns Axon, this is just one example, to come in and demonize their competition so their system goes in. How about we get informed and pass legislation that controls or outlaws this stuff everywhere? How about we understand that any of these systems are dangerous and are going to be used for a global social credit score, the globalists admit, that's already here and that China's already implemented fully? We already have the system here. It just hasn't been implemented fully. Now it's beginning to be implemented. This is the digital prison. This is the prison planet. This is the control grid that we're talking about. So here's one of these folks that's figured this out and does a great job, Southern California Chris, and then we'll go into some of the latest developments. Here it is.
The backlash against Flock is so great at this point that cities are now installing a new kind of AI surveillance camera made by this company called Axon, disguised in things like digital speed signs. With 53 cities having removed their Flock cameras only to replace them with Axon-mounted cameras.
So the big question is, what is going on here? Well, let's talk about who owns Flock and who owns Axon. Okay, on one side, Flock, you have investment groups like Andreessen Horowitz. That is Mark Andreessen's group, the Conehead guy. Further down the list, you see highlighted Founders Fund. That is Peter Thiel's group. Y Combinator below that, that is the group that used to be run by Sam Altman. And then on the other side, Axon, that is a public company that is 91% owned by institutional investors, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. That's the big three, and they are the top three shareholders of the company. I hope you guys are noticing a little bit of a pattern here. It's Silicon Valley technocrats on one side with Flock, and the other side, Wall Street bankers and finance. Okay, almost every single piece of content that I've come across about mass surveillance specifically targets Flock, not necessarily the mass surveillance industrial complex as a whole. So I thought, that is very interesting. Could it be a coincidence? Maybe. But here's something that we do know for sure about all of this is that Donald Trump earlier this year invested millions of dollars into Axon Enterprise. Then I saw MAGA influencers starting to get involved in the conversation. Here, Tim Pool is talking about how Flock cameras are really just AI law enforcement. Again, the target is specifically laser focused on Flock. Matt Walsh just did a deep dive a couple days ago about Flock. You guys perhaps picking up what I'm putting out there? And then I came across this reporting from Tony Ortiz, a reporter from Texas, who claimed, quote, at least two influencers he's spoken to have been approached with offers of money in exchange for posting negatively about Flock cameras on X. So now it's not just a theory. We're talking about a possible paid influencer campaign. Weird, to say the least. And then this next part is an absolute doozy. Okay. In 2015, Jeffrey Epstein partnered with former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak to invest in a security tech startup called Rapporti Homeland Security, now known as Carbon. Yes. Jeffrey Epstein and Israel is a part of this story, as they usually are. Because guess who owns Carbon now? That's right, Axon. The key takeaway for all of us has to be that we can't get hung up on Flock or any other individual company, but we have to fight against mass surveillance as a whole.
Do you want to know the secret of Flock? Do you want to know what this is really all about? Well, I gave you over a year ago and every week since then, Tomorrow's News Today, that there have been paid influencer campaigns against Palantir and against Flock. That doesn't mean Palantir and them shouldn't be looked at. It doesn't mean they aren't doing Big Brother bad things. We've covered it. Doesn't mean Flock isn't. Of course it is. You can pull up reports I did and films I made 30 years ago about face scanning cameras and license plate readers and the tyranny and the global social credit score grid. But why does everyone only know about Palantir and Flock? When you pull up the amount of money being spent on Flock and Palantir by governments, by institutions, it isn't even 5%. The big players are BlackRock and groups even bigger than that, and they literally go, how are we going to get people to accept the surveillance state? Well, we're only going to make it about some of our competitors that are smaller and make it only about them, and then basically pushing them out of the market, and then the system is in place regardless. We've got to understand that it doesn't matter what car manufacturer it is, whether it's South Korean, whether it's Chinese, whether it's Japanese, whether it's German, whether it is UK, US, whether it's a US company, Ford, Chevy. 20 years ago, on the high-end cars, they were putting in kill switches and tracker systems. And then the last decade, they're in all the new cars. And then 4 years ago, Biden made it the law that starting this year, all cars have cameras, microphones, watching and listening to you with AI, with kill switches and tracker systems in all of them, and it's now the law. When Biden got the law passed by Congress and signed it, listeners couldn't even believe me when I was showing them mainstream news articles and the bill. Cell phones, ladies and gentlemen, are not just cell phones. These are supercomputers. These listen to you. These watch you. These track you. Alexa, the Ring cameras, all of it. And I was telling you about Axon a year ago and some of the other bigger companies that have bigger footprints. But here's the thing about Axon. Flock is trying to copy them now and is doing it. But Axon has been hidden in Lightpost and other companies that are doing similar things for 20 years, whether you're in London or whether you're in Chicago. You can pull up articles at InfoWars. Well, it's down now, but the archives are out there where we exposed Axon and before the other company, before they changed the name, it was a couple mergers where Homeland Security after 9/11 put in billions of dollars in transformers and in light poles and in cell towers and all over the place, hidden cameras, license plate reading cameras, microphones, you name it. So thank God people know about Flock. Thank God you're upset it's reading your license plate. But do you understand that 20 plus years ago, we reported on these companies putting up gunshot detectors and microphones and face scanners and all of it. So this grid is in place and it's very healthy. The public's woken up the Flock. Now people are finding out what else is there, what the other companies are, and how they're hiding these devices everywhere. And what is the answer of the bigger companies that are doing the stuff even worse to flood the zone and only make it about Flock or Palantir, that you notice are affiliated, crossover, co-invested, and should be looked at and should be exposed. But the stuff even more intense, the stuff far worse, I mean, when you look up Ford, Chevy, Mercedes, all of them, it's different companies, different groups, but by the same standards, the same cameras, the same microphones, the same AI grids, the same sharing protocols with the Meta glasses, with the Alexas, with the rings. The big secret is it's all being integrated in together. Yeah, look at that. That's 2014. Hell, we got stuff even older. That's 12 years old. Smart streetlights to track everything we do all the time. Paul Joseph Watson. We've got articles in 2004 reporting on that. I made films in 2004 that cover it. Think about that. And then when I come out in the last few years and go, okay, yeah, Palantir, here they are. Here's what they do. Here's how they operate. They're being brought in by Trump as little tech because other big tech won't give Trump access to these grids. Palantir's coming in to give Trump access, which is dangerous, which is needs to be looked at, which needs to be curtailed. And the influencers hit me and said, Jones is defending Palantir. Jones is defending Flock. No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. They are defending the bigger grid and don't want you to see the big picture. But thank God the public is figuring this out now. And that's why we're Tomorrow's News Today. And that's why we do what we do. Here's a clip of, and there's a lot of these reports, and it's good people are doing this. The government is on to us. They're now hiding Flock cameras everywhere. Here's the clip.
Hey, check this out. You see this thing back here? Let me show you something. So this is one of those mobile speed devices, solar powered. It's got a Tennessee tag on it because that's weird because we are in New Smyrna Beach. But what is lurking behind this one? This is another one up here and right here. There's a Flock camera on the backside of this one here as well. Basically, they can put this anywhere. This is what they're doing. This is not as sneaky as the other one that was mounted inside of the box. But look at this thing. This is it right up here. Let me see it. This is a company, All Traffic Solutions. It's a Speed Alert 24. But they're putting Flock cameras everywhere. Everywhere that they can. They'll probably put them on your mailboxes if they could. But this is it. Tennessee tag. Says semi on it. It's probably not even like properly tagged. Got a Flock camera right on the back. And guess what happens when I asked for my footage through this? When they said there was no record found for some reason. They're absolutely disgusting. They're putting these things everywhere. Everywhere.
And it's not just Flock. There are dozens of these companies, and a lot of times they're really all co-owned. It's all corporate interlocking directorships. The whole thing's a mess. The whole thing is tyranny. The whole thing is Big Brother. The whole thing is social credit score enforcement for the lockdowns that they are openly announcing they plan to bring in around the world. I got a few more clips of this when we come back, but I want to open the phones up on the subject I launched in the first hour. The Trump era is phasing out. He's got less than 2 years left. There's a civil war within the nationalist populist movement, and that's healthy to decide what we really stand for. Are we neocon Israel first, what MAGA became, or are we America first? And then what is America first? How do we handle this? How much time do we spend dealing with bad stuff Trump does versus the Democrats, the leftists, the UN, BlackRock, the New World Order? Because I will tell you, that it's good to criticize bad stuff Trump does, and I do it. But I got to say, most of the other talk show hosts and people I know, you know, the biggest people out there, they spend 95% of their time going after Republicans and Trump and Republican members of Congress that aren't perfect, but are way better than Democrats. And that's fine, except why don't you spend time on Democrats? What's really behind that? How do we handle this? And what is the future after Trump? We're opening the phones up, 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. I don't screen your calls other than got a clean phone line and be ready to cover the topic. 512-266-0642. We'll be right back. Be sure to check out our website, alexjoneslive.com.
I'll tell you something right now that is one of the most, if not the most important things I've ever talked about on air, and I want you to really listen to me. And I want you to get a pen and paper out of your iPhone, out of your Droid, and type this into your notes. And I want you at lunch today or tonight or right now to just go to any search engine you want and type in two different names, two different words, okay? Two different drugs that have won Nobel Prizes, you name it, that people don't want you to know about. And one of those is ivermectin that everybody knows about. The other one that most people still don't know about is Benzedol. If you do the research, then it's important to understand that you need to get it from a pharmacy. You need to get it from a doctor. And we have a sponsor, and that's, of course, Bigley. And they went and they used the same service as, you know, the big web, RXs, and great people we've used that have been sponsors to the past. But this is Bigley doing it. And the key is it's real, it's pharmaceutical, and it is a very low price. People are selling knockoffs of it online without a prescription, and a lot of it's fake or a lot of it's watered down and adulterated. Because I did a regimen a couple years ago of Mebendazole. We'll put that on screen. That's how you spell it right there. Mebendazole. And it didn't have any effect. I bought it off of Amazon. And then I did more research. And they said most of that stuff's fake. So I went and I got it from a doctor. And it was incredible. And my own medical doctor owns clinics all over the state of Texas had already been pushing it on me for years. And I just never done it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get the two in a combo. The ivermectin and the Mebendazole together. And they work synergistically together. It is certified and known, both of them, as incredible anti-parasite. Just search the term ivermectin, Mebendazole, and just put in study and do your own research and see what the system has been suppressing about this. And this is something, in my view, talk to your physician. And when you go to the website, it's, you know, an online pharmacy, and they've got nurses, doctors, all of it. And then you get the prescription. It's very, very easy to do. And I would recommend to talk to your doctors. My own personal opinion. What I do for myself is twice a year, I take a regimen of ivermectin and Mebendazole. And it is incredible. People ask why I look so young while I'm healthy. Well, it's a cocktail of things. It's the ivermectin. It's the Mebendazole that I take about twice a year as a regimen. Some people, my medical doctor says, take a little bit of ivermectin every week. But I tend to forget to do that. He's literally just says take like two pills a week as a supplemental. That's what my medical doctor tells me. You get your own medical doctor to tell you what you want. But the big thing they say is a couple of times a year, a big dose, a big regimen. You talk to your physicians. You talk to the folks in the online pharmacy. Let me put it on screen for you. 1776RX, just 1776RX.health. This is one of the most important things you'll ever do, ladies and gentlemen. And despite the system trying to suppress this information, it's getting out everywhere. So do your own research. This is revolutionary. This is so important. 1776, just the numbers. 1776RX.health. Those are the coordinates, and it's a win-win to fund our operation and what we're doing. Take action now. The most important decision you'll ever make, 1776RX.health, and get your ivermectin, Mebendazole right now, ladies and gentlemen. But whatever you do, go to thealexjonesstore.com. These are incredible products. All these things work. And I have sexy names. Irish sea moss, Shilajit, bovine colostrum. Oh, research bovine colostrum and then find out we have the best. Oh, research Irish sea moss. We have the best. Research Shilajit. We have the best. We just bring you things the bad guys don't want you to know about at thealexjonesstore.com and, of course, at 1776RX.health. Take action now. Thank you so much for your support.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
I'm gonna steal me a silver stallion.
Now look, I know most of the listeners are smart as I am or smarter in many ways. So when I get up here and I make fifth grade-like statements, you have to understand, we're on hundreds of radio stations, we're massive on the internet, millions watching a day on Rumble and X and everywhere else. And I get major pushback whenever I get up here and I explain, hey, Flock is only a small part of this. It's great. People are waking up to it. We need to now take that awakening and educate them about everything else that is way worse. And because they've been emotional and been taught by the corporate media to hate Flock, they think when you go, hey, there's something worse than that. Yes, Flock bad. Let's get rid of that or restrict that heavily. They think, because they're influencers who aren't stupid, who come out and coordinatedly attack me, they actually believe I'm trying to have Big Brother watch them when I basically wrote the book on exposing it, okay? And the whole prison planet they want to build and this whole system, we popularized that phrase. And it's the same thing when it comes to so many other issues. And people have to become aware of the larger control grid. And they have to ask, why is it boosted by the corporate media and the algorithm to obsess over Flock all day? And it's very simple. They know Big Brother's unpopular, just like the poison shots are unpopular. And if they can make it only about one institution or one company or one group, they win. In fact, I meant to send the clip to the crew today, and I didn't because I was driving when I was watching at a red light, but I'm going to find it and send it to them. I saw a couple different talk show hosts I actually followed and liked. One of them was the popular comedian who's been on the show. What's his name? He's the guy that does the thing with the bird about Fauci. Brewer. And Brewer had this epiphany, and he was saying, you know, I just figured this out. They want us to only focus on Fauci, and then he's the bad guy, and then we only demonize Fauci, when it was both presidents, Republican and Democrat, that did this, and it was the big institutions that did this, and it was the Pentagon, goes back to Obama, actually, that rolled out the COVID and actually had the COVID-19 vaccine ready before they even released COVID. Now, we all know that back from before it happened. We were covering it in 2015, predicting it. We were having Dr. Francis Boyle on in February of 2020, predicting it all before it even happened. But when I see Jim Brewer, yeah, there it is, we'll play that in a moment, waking up, that, because I saw without even looking, that's a key term I use a lot, this morning, you know, up since 4 a.m., just scanning news, reading articles, I came across two people, Brewer and one others, going, wait a minute, I figured these Fauci hearings out. They have years of these, he gets caught lying, he's a criminal, he's terrible, but he never gets charged, and they just use him like a chew toy, so we all think the buck stops with him. And I'm just like, yes, this is the level of thinking we need. Of course, put Fauci in prison. We're not defending Fauci. We're not defending Flock. We're not defending Palantir. We're saying, why does the corporate media, I remember like 4 years ago, Palantir, New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, ABC News, Palantir. And then a couple of years ago, Flock. And I know what it is. I go, oh, it's the other big companies. They want you to only know about that. And I went and looked it up. Sure enough, Flock's small compared to the others. So you have to know the enemy's philosophy. And as bad as Bill Gates is, and I want to see him in prison, he's just a high-level functionary in this. And if you only focus on him and Klaus Schwab, they win again. It's the whole system is what I'm saying. And I harp on this philosophically a lot as well, because once you get this, you can't go back. You can't be told about the Matrix. You've got to see it. And there's a lot of examples of this. But you know my pet peeve. Oh, my God, communism so failed. Socialism doesn't work. The people pushing communism are so stupid. Don't they know it doesn't work? It works for the elites that bring it in. And total control, it's slavery labeled as something for the people. They admit that. Stop saying it's failed. Stop saying it's stupid. Stop saying the carbon taxes are dumb. Carbon's good for the earth. They're not dumb. It takes full control of everything and allows them to cut off the resources to the general public and not the elites. The data centers get all the carbon they want. You get none. And I know most of you get this, but remember, we're trying to get the other people that don't get it. Anytime you're being shown one thing and only one thing, you've got to ask, why is that? Because if they can get you to focus in on only one piece of the puzzle, you don't get the whole thing. We're about wide spectrum analysis, wide spectrum understanding. And so I noticed that if I do a video bashing Trump, and rightfully so, and he deserves it when he's doing it, it gets pushed everywhere. But when I do a video exposing what the Democrats are up to behind the scenes and what we're going to be facing in the near future and what their next attack is and the people that represent them, it gets flagged, it gets voted down, it gets botted, it gets blocked. So I've learned, it's not rocket science, that what's hard to get out, what gets pushed back is where I need to be. And that's my point. And I catch myself, because, man, I was counting on Trump, and we had him going full steam ahead, and it was so damn good till 4 or 5 months into the administration. And I take it personally, and I get pissed. And I'm going to keep talking about Trump all the time. But at the same time, I'm going to keep adding the big picture to the discussion. So I love seeing all these talk show hosts and journalists and influencers and young people out making a big thing about Flock. I mean, I could go out and show some Flock cameras, which I did years ago, and it'd be super viral, and oh my God, you're a hero, thanks a lot. I mean, the ultimate stunt was I could just walk up with a buzzsaw, with a, you know, diamond saw, and just cut one of those down live on the internet. And it would get 50 million views, and I'd be a hero. But it'd be a stunt. But I am thinking I'm going to go ahead and go cut one down. And while I'm doing it, I'm going to be showing you on the screen all the other ways you're being surveilled. And I'm going to say, so are you going to cut up your cell phone? You going to throw away your cell phone, put it in the microwave? Or are you going to go to the dealership and say, I want this camera and these microphones all turned off, which in most cars you can still do. But now the new one's coming out. You can't even turn it off. The new Range Rovers, I was looking this up last week, you can't turn it off in the Range Rover. The new Range Rovers don't even have plugs for phones. Most of the new cars don't even have handles anymore. They are setting it all up to remove us from the process of human instrumentality, to just make us like worms that sit in a Petri dish or something. So my point is, this is a big, master, global, corporate, standardized control grid. Remember what the CIA director said like 14, 15 years ago in Wired magazine? Well, who was the director then? It was Petraeus? Was it McChrystal? I forget which one was in there. Guys, type in to, you'll have to search web, it's so old. Type in, soon your washing machine or your dishwasher will be listening to you, was the headline. Well, they were already listening to you. And it was a CIA director saying, you know how we control things? Your refrigerator, your phone, your car, your dishwasher, they're all going to be listening and watching you soon. And what he meant was, oh, a bunch of people already had them in doing it, but all the new ones coming out have it. You try to go to Home Depot, you try to go to these places now, you can't find a refrigerator or dishwasher that isn't smart, that isn't tracking you, listening to you, dialing into your cell phone, dialing into the other wireless networks, dialing into the Ring cameras, dialing into the smart meters. Yeah, there it is. CIA chief will spy on you through your dishwasher. In fact, print me that article. Or just put it back. I want to read it. The problem is, you know, decades later, this stuff kind of blurs in my brain. So I want listeners to always know that when I'm saying something, 99% of the time it's accurate. But with time, things kind of get a little foggy. So I have to neurotically pull everything up to always double check right in front of you. It's great that you've got so much new household hardware connected to the internet, especially for the CIA, whose director wants to spy on you through it. Let's scroll down. More and more personal and household devices are connected to the internet, from your television to your car navigation system to your light switches. CIA Director David Petraeus, House Petraeus, cannot wait to spy on you through them. Earlier this month, Petraeus mused about the emergence of an Internet of Things, that is, wired devices, at a summit for InQtel, the CIA's venture capital firm. Transformational is an overused word, but I do believe it properly applies to those technologies, Petraeus enthused, particularly to those and their effect on clandestine tradecraft. And he goes on to say, if you're a person of interest, everything in your house is watching you. So, that was how many years ago? Let's pull up the date on that. And, of course, we were covering this a decade before they admitted it. So that's March 15, 2012. So my memory said 15 years ago. And my memory was right. So there you go. But you always got to test the old brain. So because I see this thing all the time, the national news and influencers. That guy rattles off all that stuff. He doesn't know all that. He just spews a bunch of crap and thinks it makes him sound smart. No, I do my research. I didn't get on the show before today and say, when was that article? What was the date? I just remembered the article and said, check it. And I was right and got almost all of it right from memory. I just want listeners to know, I'm not up here blowing smoke up your behind, okay? That's what the crew does. They just type in whatever I say, and they pull it up. And what I'm trying to tell you is this is a massive controlled program, global, through global UN, WEF, BlackRock, corporate enforcement, standardization. Whether you lived in Germany or Canada or the U.S. or New Zealand, the same day all the restaurants closed and you couldn't get food for a month, and then now you had to have a QR code and no more paper menus. That was all about training you. When they roll out new technology, you all accept it. And they said, the UN said, and the Australian ministers admitted it publicly, they said, this is a test for carbon lockdowns in the future, where you'll only be able to leave your house on the days of the week we say. You'll be arrested if you don't have your cell phone. You got to FaceTime into the police to make every hour to show them you are where you say you are. That's everybody. Like checking in with your... individual that you've got to, you know, check in with when you're on parole, your parole officer. This is the prison grid. This is it. And people need to institutionalize it in their brain that it's an institutional attack. All right, let's go ahead and go to Brewer, the comedian, who from another angle is hitting the same point. And he's attacking Josh Howley, who I actually like overall, but His point is, we keep hearing we're going to get arrest, Fauci's going to get it, human traffickers are going to get it, and then nothing ever happens. Well, that's the Justice Department's fault. But I think in general what Brewer is saying is true, in that we're all told just to hate Fauci and stop there. No, we need to go all the way up to the top of the IMF, the World Bank, the UN, the Pentagon at the top that was running this under Obama's initiative that continued on, and they had COVID-19 2 years before on the shelf, both the virus and the vaccine. That's been declassified. So why are we still on, did it come out of a lab? Did it come out of Wuhan? Was it man-made? We told you that before they even released it, where it was coming from, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. But the thinking of Brewer is exactly where you and I all need to be. And then, wait a minute, why isn't this guy charged? Well, that's because he's a chew toy. It's just, he's the bad guy. And he is the bad guy. But he's the fall guy. Not that he's innocent. God, I can see the headlines now. Jones defends Fauci. I did not do that. I want him in a supermax prison. I want him charged with mass murder. After tried by a jury of his peers, I think he should be executed. Nuremberg violations. But what about the people that cooked it up above him? Because he was a high-level general. He was a high-level manager, but he didn't cook this up. Why does it always stop at Fauci? And notice, we can never go past Fauci, because if we get Fauci, he'll start singing about all of his bosses. That's why they can never prosecute even their high-level minions, is because it'll break through to the guys on top. And I know most of you get that. You go, Jones, we all know that. Remember, I'm not talking all the time to the smart people. How are we ever going to inform the people that are ignorant if we don't talk at their level? Now, you should just put up with me, okay? I think I know what I'm doing here. Let's go to Brewer. Here it is.
Senator John Hawley, I loved this guy. If I was you, I'd go check to see who funds him. It's a show, people. And you know what the show is? Distraction. Let me show you how the distraction works with Senator Hawley. Send out Fauci. And they send him out to make him look like a clown. If you ask me, Fauci's just the guy who gets whacked. He's the fall guy. I don't even think he exists anymore. I'm going to say that was an actor. Forget going, hey, man, you guys owe us an apology. The snakes showed themselves.
Hey, forget your freedom.
Hey, you gotta get back. Your presidents said that. Your senators said that. Your corporations said that. Your baseball owners said that. Your basketball owners said that. Your NFL owners said that. They all said that. The medical industry said that. They all said that. They are all part of the system.
Jim Burr gets the blue ribbon. Ding, 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 bingo, 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 bingo. Yeah, Flock's bad. It's the finger on a bigger system. Oh, Jones is covered for Flock. No, I just said, pull back a little bit and see what it's attached to. That's all I said. And they don't want you doing that. They don't, he's with Flock. He's a traitor. He's saying, look at your phone, look at your car, look at the light pole, look at Axon, look at, Uh-huh. And the talking point, Jones can't be trusted. He's controlled opposition. He's with them. Complete opposite. 95% of the cutting-edge stuff we know is from my broadcast, our guest, our crew, we've done. I don't have to defend myself. That's why they say we're with the bad guys. That's why they say we're the establishment, because you judge a tree by its fruits. All we do is expose how the whole thing works. They don't like that. They don't like the fact that we give you wide spectrum analysis and show you where to go look at it for yourself. I neurotically show you everything, where I got it, why I think it, and ask, what is your view? Am I right on this? And sometimes I'm a little bit off, and you help me find out the rest of the answers. We war game this together, like we're about to do with your phone calls, on what do we do about this country and the world. We know we're going to have populist movements in this great awakening, and some of them are going to get bought off and infiltrated and go sideways. We don't get demoralized by that. We just keep promoting basic values and freedoms, finding good people to run for office, good people to support corporations, whistleblowers, people that stand up and tell the truth. It's a process. So what is that process? What do we do about Trump? I think we just say he's done. He doesn't matter. He's gone sideways. So, okay, we're upset about that. We try to block bad stuff he does. We try to inform people. We try to support good members of his cabinet. Aren't many left. But then we also look over at the Democrats and the globalists and the left and the Islamists, and what do we do about them? Because the left tries to say, oh, you're criticizing Islam, you're with Israel. No, I'm not. I'm exposing Israel. That doesn't mean I'm for Islam. See, again, it's always got to be one group. Oh, the Muslims are bad. Oh, the Israel's bad. Oh, the Chi-Coms are bad. How about we got a lot of wickedness in high places? How about we oppose the policies of wickedness? How about we oppose the agenda? Whoever's behind it. And then we can all come together and say, no, I don't want to be surveilled. No, I don't want warrantless tracking. No, I don't trust this system. No, we're going to get legislation in to dismantle this crap. Not sit there and demonize one company and have people just go cut the stuff down, which I think is healthy to take action and get in the field. And that's a healthy first move, but you got to legislatively and culturally cut it down. And you got to cut the whole thing down. Not just one of the weeds. You got to learn what all the other weeds are. You got to get them all. You can have five or six types of insects eating your garden. You don't just obsess on the stink bugs and get rid of those. You got to get rid of the other bugs. Comprende? And I'm in the garden saying, here's the different types of bugs. And by the way, if you see some new type of bug I don't know about, come tell me about the bug. See, I want to know about all the little bugs in the garden. And you got to deal with rabbits coming in and eating your stuff. That'll make some nice fruit stew pot. Want a little rabbit fricassee? Maybe you don't have a stomach to put a trap and get the bunny rabbit and then cook it. But there's more than just mice and stink bugs and caterpillars that eat your goods. So there's a lot of stuff coming into the garden. And maybe you got chickens. Maybe you got a fox trying to eat your chickens. What's he going to do about that? See, I'm like a farmer. Come from farmers. I'm talking about all the stuff going on at the farm. You know, like old McDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on this farm he had a pig, oink, 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 you know, and he had a cow, and he had a horse, and he had a mule, and he had a goat, here a goat, there a goat, there, everywhere, quack, quack, everywhere, yeah. And see, I'm just trying to get people to aware of all, and I know some of you are like, God, you're talking to someone 5 years old. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people that are going to be legitimately mad that I'm talking about Axon. They don't want to know about Axon. See, it's easier for them to just think there's one problem, flock, and you deal with that, all the problems are solved. And no, there's something bigger than that. I'm going to go to your phone call if we start the next hour. Miss Lou, Godzilla, Carmen, Sconey, Rune, Dave. These are some cool names. And be nice when you call in. It's my oldest daughter works there. She's John Harmon, normally answers the phones. He's off today. So it's Charlotte's answering the phone, so be sweet to her. She's a great person. And so we'll, we got calls from Denmark. It's not just Rune, it's Rune from Denmark. We'll go to Rune first, though they're on the Iran war. I was saying the main topic is the surveillance grid, but it all ties together, so whatever. That's more of a recommendation, not a rule you have to call in about what do we do about the future of the Republican Party and populist movements in general, and how do we not get demoralized when they're not perfect and we get everything we want done and we're naive and we're stupid because it all wasn't perfect and all didn't get fixed? No, we're not naive. We're going for the best shots we've got, and sometimes they go all the way. Sometimes they go halfway. Sometimes they stab us in the back. It doesn't matter. It's a war. It's long-term. It's strategic. But look at this young lady. I'm praising her doing her little song about Flock. It's not taking away from her, but Maybe she should do a song about the phone shooting the video, how it's surveilling them, even worse. Or maybe the car behind them with all the surveillance gadgets and cameras embedded watching you in the kill switch. Oh, see? That's all I'm saying. Let's go to the clip.
Do you dream of living in a surveillance state? Have you always wanted to be accused of a crime you didn't commit? Do you trust your government? Then look no further than your local street corner. Flock cameras, your antidote to personal privacy. These very useful community safety cameras may or may not be collecting up all your data and selling them off to questionable third parties, only to be deleted at some point, maybe. Probably never. But wait, wouldn't it take too long to install these cameras across every city in America? No worries. We've already done it when you weren't looking. If you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about. These cameras will only be used to catch lowlifes, criminals, and anti-vaxxers. Have a little faith in your government and your unaccountable corporations. They would never abuse this power, and you should be ashamed of infringing on their right to control you. Now, some people are asking, isn't this a Fourth Amendment violation? To which we say, why are you asking so many questions? Big Brother's only looking out for you. And who knows, if you ever need someone to tell you your social credit score or let you know when you've reached your weekly carbon allotment, maybe these can help with that too. Flock cameras are so popular that Americans literally can't stop cutting them down. I hope you don't own a reciprocating saw. Some people are insulted that these are called flock cameras, as though we're sheep or something. But I wear it as a badge of honor. If all my friends were giving up their essential liberty for a little temporary safety, would I do that too? Yes! COVID taught me nothing. There is an old saying in America, don't tread on me. But I think it's time for a new saying, tread right ahead. Or even better, turn in your firearms. If you don't have a suitable street corner for your flock cameras, or if people keep cutting them down, try flock drones, an even simpler way to become enslaved by your AI overlords. Don't worry, these ALPRs can only be used to read your license plate, and definitely cannot be used to personally identify you in other ways, unless you need them to. Will we actually arrest any of the bad guys that we track with these things? Probably not, because nobody ever seems to get arrested. And if you do manage to convince your city council to get rid of flock cameras, don't worry, Axon is on the way to come and do probably exactly the same thing.
So again, it's a great to talk about don't give up liberty for security. You'll get neither, as Benjamin Franklin said. But I'm going to ask her, okay, what about your cell phone? What about the car? What about all of it? What about all the other surveillance systems? I just want people to see the big picture. And then we need to have legislation that goes in and needs to be serious criminal penalties for what these companies and corporations and governments are doing. But the government, through InQtel and the CIA and the NSA, set all this up, and so they want it this way. This has been designed since 1960 under a DARPA plan called the Intergalactic Communications Network. Just look it up. What created the Internet? Intergalactic Communications Network. DARPA. ARPA. DARPANET. All right. We're going to come back with your phone calls. And a ton of other subjects I haven't even hit yet. And so much more. Hour number three straight ahead. Share those live feeds now from Real Alex Jones on X and Rumble.
Alex Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started. Or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day at what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver.
and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I'm going to go directly to your phone calls at the start of the next segment, but I want all the stations to hear you, so I'll go to you at 6 after. But let me show you something, finishing up with the whole flock discussion that's getting very positive if people can get deeper into it, which is happening. And I'm very excited to see this happening all over the place. People are getting big picture. That's victory. But notice the Grok response to the sheriff in Polk County, Florida, who I like in general, but who looks at this from one dimensional. Hey, we find people with Alzheimer's. We find criminals with this. We find kidnapped kids. And so it's good. Yeah, but the system above the sheriff has a lot of evil and corruption and designed this for lockdowns and global government in their own admissions. That's the problem, sheriff. It's like a gun can be used for good. It can also be used for bad in the bad guy's hand. And this AI control grid is the mark of the beast. The Bible warns us about it. But notice the reader's context and then what Grok said. It's always the same. Well, we've had face scanning and license plate reading cameras for 25, 30 years. So it's been there a long time, so it's okay. See? Oh, your cell phone's been listening to your Alexa for 15 years. There have been kill switches in the cars a long time. It's just the law. They've got to be there now. So what's the big deal? There's a precedent here. You see, China already implemented this 10 years ago. Our governments in the West are just now implementing them. Whether in the UK, Germany, here, it doesn't matter. It's the same. Readers added context they thought people might want to know about the sheriff defending Flock. People have been abusing Flock and other private surveillance, placing the public under constant surveillance and extreme and unconstitutional. Yes, some bad cops, politicians, but it's bigger than that. And then they go on in another one to say, oh, well, this has been going on for decades. So it's not just about a few individuals misusing it. The whole thing is designed for total control. That's why it was originally designed. Yeah, it's got lots of nice little uses and things for it. But who watches the watchers? So here's the sheriff just flabbergasted that people are concerned about Flock. Here it is.
We have red light cameras. They are license plate readers. We would have found him. Today, we may have found him before he ever got a chance to rape and murder her. But we would have found him within hours today. And yet there's some nut jobs that don't think we should be able to look at a camera that's on a public right-of-way only looking at a tag in the color of a car. Y'all get over that now. We're going to find lost children, lost Alzheimer's patients, warrant suspects, and we're never going to invade your privacy to do it. So wash that out of your mind.
Really, about 20 times a day, I see reports like this that are confirmed. Look at this one. Flock error equals guns drawn. Police shut down I-94, boxed in a silver SUV, held two people at gunpoint after Flock cameras flagged the car as connected to homicide.
Except it wasn't. The alert was outdated. Authorities forgot to remove it. Trust the algorithm. And most of the time, it thinks an O is a zero, and then you get SWAT teamed. No, there's plenty of problems with these, just having errors. But that's not the big issue. The issue is it was designed by the CIA and the NSA for a global government control grid, and at the end of the day, will be used by the Antichrist to rule the earth. We'll be right back with your phone calls in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazole, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazole is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazole studies. Just put that into a search engine, and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, so we're about to go to your phone calls in a moment on what do we do with the future of the Republican Party. We spend all our time mad at Trump, and that's fine, and it's important to try to get him, you know, back on track to end the war and things like that, and to bring back enforcement inside the country for illegal aliens, something that's been dialed way back that we first broke months ago and now confirmed. But what about the Democrats? What about the Democrat Socialist America? What about the globalists? What about the UN? How much time are we spending on that? Because just because we're mad at Trump doesn't mean Hunter Biden's our buddy. That's all I'm trying to say. We'll go back to your phone calls in a moment, but here's a report. Brookfield police in Wisconsin pull over innocent people at gunpoint because of flock cameras. And again, this is just one more example of all of this. Here it is.
To our big story this morning, police with guns drawn stop a driver along I-94, but it turns out they had the wrong person, all because of a mistake involving flock cameras.
Yeah, Stephanie Quirk is live in Brookfield following this mix-up. Steph, what happened here?
Good morning. Yeah, quite the mix-up. Brookfield police say they pulled over a car because a flock camera flagged it for connection to a Milwaukee homicide investigation. Well, turns out, quite the mix-up. Not just wrong person, but also wrong car. Take a look again at that video that you see here. You can see multiple squads on I-94 in Waukesha County, officers with guns drawn, and a passenger sticking their hands out the window. Police pulled over the car after a flock camera flagged it again for Milwaukee homicide, but when Brookfield police called Milwaukee, said they no longer needed the car or the people inside. So officers let them go. That's according to Brookfield police. We did reach out to MPD to learn why that car was still active in the flock system. But again, this just brings up the bigger, discussion that we have been seeing in headlines about flock cameras. They've become quite a point of contention, not just here in Southeast Wisconsin, but really across the country as reports of misuse by law enforcement across the country are arising. In fact, we actually talked with Dane County chair, who says that they actually voted to no longer use flock cameras. Take a listen to what he said.
Even here close to home, they were violating people's trust. And so we pulled the funding from the sheriff's office not continue that contract. But in the meantime, we recognize that it's an important technology.
And again, just to give the other side of this to law enforcement in particular, Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman has defended the flock camera system and the technology, saying that they use it as a tool to get violent criminals off the street, to prevent crime, and also to prosecute, get suspects to the point of where prosecutors can charge them, right? In terms of the Dane County chair, what you just heard about how they pulled that funding, they since restored the funding for a different technology, though, to be used, not for flock. We'll send it back to you for now.
Yeah, Steph, we want to ask you this. What is flock really saying about all of this?
Yeah, we actually did reach out to flock yesterday, and they sent a statement to us. I could read part of that. In part of the statement, they said, quote, "We understand that people have legitimate questions about any technology used by law enforcement, and we welcome that conversation."
Did you hear the key there? Okay. Did you hear the key about 20 seconds ago? In fact, when we take this and post this to X later, I want to just play that little clip over and over again, like 10 seconds. Oh, the city got rid of flock but brought in a new technology. Now, I'm going to look up what that is. Is it Axon, which is exactly the same but more intense, that's owned by BlackRock and Trump? Oh, yeah. Or is it the dozens of companies that grab all the metadata when you drive under it off your phone, including your name, and then it can dial into other databases with the apps that track everywhere you're going and the cell phone companies via the cell tower triangulation and GPS? See, they're getting rid of flock because it's a 25-year-old technology and a subcompany of a group that's not as high up in the globalist hierarchy. It's not a defense of flock and what it's doing. It's just, it's not the big shark. The big fish are eating the little fish here. And so all over the world, not just here, they're getting rid of flock and bringing in the big boys like Axon. And we already played a report that detailed all that if you just joined us. And again, the paid influencers that are, it's come out, that are on the BlackRock funding, they just, you know, get told what to say. They'll say, Jones is defending flock as a traitor. I didn't know, no such thing. I said they're getting rid of it by putting pressure on it and bringing in something worse. How about we get rid of it all? So you can't disagree with that. But that's why I just laid all this out. And Axon is not just in the body cams. It's on the street lights. It's got microphones. It's unbelievable. All right, let's go to your phone calls. We're going to go to Miss Lou, Godzilla, Carmen, Sconey, Lou and others. First, we're going to go to Sconey. In Wisconsin, where we were just reporting on, and they're on flock. Then we'll go to Lou on strategy for 2028 and others right now. So, Sconey, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. It's Sconey, which is slang for a Wisconsinite. I'm not going to give you any compliments whatsoever, but I will give your parents compliments for essentially turning my friends and family into Christian conservatives who know what investigative journalism is. Next, I wanted to touch on the flock issue, and this goes way back. I'm actually looking at a citizen's rule book that I bought 250 of from you. When you had your OnStar removed, how much did that cost?
It didn't cost, I don't remember, but I mean, I just had them disconnect it because you could not pay for the service, but it's still connected and the FBI and the NSA are listening to everything in live time on it. So I just went into Chevy and, barely remember. This is like 20 years ago. Longer than that. I mean, each Tahoe I've gotten, I've had them do it. And then they just literally, back then it was a plug they would unplug. Now it's wired into the software. They have to turn the software off. And then I'm told, not that I have a Range Rover, but I looked it up, that now a bunch of the new cars coming out, you cannot turn the software off.
Okay. Well, on a second note, please give your mom and dad a hug. Don't give them a bear. Please don't give them the trademark Alex Bear hug, because that your dad had the bypass surgery. So anyway, And also, by the way, VIP back in 2010, I sent Michelle number one a few thousand dollars, and I said, just deduct, so I don't have to do the credit card each time. So that was cool. And then on another issue, I have an investigative journalist that works for a paper right near here, two big front page articles on tick-borne weaponized illnesses and two on flock and related technologies. And I was living near Brookfield where you just showed that video, and that is a huge issue. And the new versions that you were speaking of are incredibly important for people to know about. I'm glad you're nailing that topic over and over. That is awesome. And also, I wanted to speak about where you're going to go, or where when the new studios go in. That's fine, but also your staff. I need to send some stuff to Rob Dew. Also, you have the sway at thealexjonesstore.com, and what I wanted was a water filter similar to what you're doing right now on a jerry can for the back of the truck. That would be awesome.
All right, brother, I'm going to jump. That's a lot of stuff for me to even keep track of, but thank you. Yeah, I'm not mad at people calling in and thanking me. But Limbaugh had this issue where he would just say dittos, because if you take a bunch of calls and then the people thank you a bunch, which I want to thank you, not that I mind being thanked, it's just that I want to get to what you have to say. And plus, I want to thank the listeners. When you're calling and thanking me, then I got to thank you. I mean, we're all in this together. Thanks for keeping us on the air. Thanks for supporting the AlexJonesStore.com. We love your recommendations. We do want to come out with some smaller gravity-fed filters. That's a great idea. That is on the front burner. So thank you so much. I really appreciate your call. All right, let's go to Lou in Texas on strategy for 2028, which is the main topic I threw out there. What do we want to do here? Because we can be pissed about Trump all day. Okay, he's going to be gone soon. What about the lay of the land coming up? Go ahead, Lou.
Thanks, Alex. Huge fan. So campaigning begins as soon as these midterms end. And we need a unified strategy and clear and consistent messaging to build a new coalition that can actually defeat the uniparty establishment. And I want to make it abundantly clear, Alex, it's that nobody from the Trump administration has a chance of winning. So that kind of leaves us with two options. One, we can build a third party as proposed by Tucker Carlson, which is a bipartisan ticket centered around reclaiming American sovereignty and non-interventionist foreign policy that would be led by MAGA OGs that have been betrayed by Trump to build their credibility. And then option two is the Nick Fuentes route, the dark horse GOP reformer, a Christian nationalist hardliner. The argument here is that we cannot compromise on conservative Christian principles and morality, and the boomers will still be a major voting bloc, Alex, in 2028. And They will obviously vote red down the line. So if we can get our candidate through the primary, we can bypass the boomer problem. So, Alex, you've been the tip of spear for over three decades. We need your decisive leadership now more than ever. We have less than 3 months to align on a strategy for 2028 and build the ground and digital infrastructure necessary for a grassroots campaign to win against the establishment. Where are you leaning today, and will you commit to aligning on a path forward by the end of the 2026 midterms so we have enough time to fight for the future of our country?
Well, that's why I open the phones up, Lou. It's not that I've got all the answers. I'm just one voice that has a focal point, so people, you know, has a little bit more push than the average person, but you're calling in to give your view. I mean, I think it's an America first, and you got to define what that is. I think absolutely. We're against the NDAA passing to give Israel control of our country. We want to end the Iran war. We want to continue with accelerated deportations. We want to have all sorts of, you know, middle class and working class tax cuts. I mean, obviously, I want to abolish the Federal Reserve. That's nowhere towards the front burner. I want to continue the good stuff Trump did with trying to curtail the transgender cult. I mean, basically, I want to see the neocons, members of the Senate and other places voted out. I want the public to get engaged and informed and know their local leadership and state and nationals' voting records. I would just call for grassroots engagement in America to realize that Trump wasn't the end-all be-all. We got some good out of him, but we've rode this horse, I think, as far as we can. We may get some other half-decent Supreme Court people. Again, they're not perfect, better than Democrats. I mean, what do you think? That's a huge deal. What's the platform for 2028? I start with working with what I have, okay? Obviously, J.D. Vance is not a neocon compared to Marco Rubio, and I think is truly, in essence, better than him, but I don't want to just settle with him. Who else should we be promoting or getting prepared? I don't think really a third-party thing is viable other than Tucker and them firing it up to try to get the Republican Party back to basics as a political weapon to get them to heal. What do you think?
Well, I completely agree. As broken as the two-party system is, I don't think we're in a position where we can go all in on a third party in 2028. We have the boomers to worry about. We have the traditional mainstream conservative to worry about. And we can accomplish everything that third party is trying to do, which is putting American sovereignty first, putting our domestic policies first with a dark horse GOP reformer. Trump did this in 2016. Like, we have the blueprint. It's been done before. We need to do it again, but actually have someone that will deliver on the promises and execute the mandate.
No, I 100% agree with you. I totally, and people say, oh, Trump, you got fooled. No, he didn't know what he was doing. Not just he said that, he admitted it. It's real. He was way better than he decided to just go with the system, be corrupt, involve them all in his corruption as really his protection with the insider trading and the Epstein cover up because he figured out once I'm out of here, they're going to destroy me. And so he decided to basically become the god of the swamp and still do some good. And I'm not defending that. I'm not pragmatic to that point. But I think that's what we've dealt with here. So we should need to realize that Trump, out of survival, bare minimum, went with this course. And he was so bold before, and I think it was a miscalculation, and I don't make decisions that way, but I think that's an accurate representation of what Trump's done. And he's destroyed his legacy, and we need to move on from him. But do you disagree with that statement?
No, I completely agree. And I want to make it clear, James Fishback is the blueprint. He used a combination of an intense ground campaign. He went to all 67 counties in Florida, the first governor candidate in state history to ever do this. He went to every single local Republican meeting, every single, Boomers United meeting all across the state. So he was able to get in front of the traditional GOP voter, which is less than 10% of the population, and almost all of them are over the age.
No, I agree. Fishback as a model of a smart, talented, well-spoken, high energy, good policies that actually does work. Doesn't just run for office as a stunt. Yeah, people like that are the model of the future.
And this is where we need you to come in, Alex, because the Patriot media really let down the America First grassroots candidates in these midterms because we didn't put the primary at the forefront. Obviously, Doc Pete Chambers wasn't really on anyone's radar until he came on your show about a week before the actual election.
And I was trying to get him on before
in November.
And then as a punishment, we got sued when he came on.
Well, of course, that's what happens. But we need a united front, not just from you, from everyone in Patriot Media to get behind these guys because they're sacrificing everything. It's not just guys like Dot Pete Chambers. We have people like Aaron Baker, Mike Willenaw, these guys running against.
Well, notice I never even talked about getting sued by Colony Ridge as punishment for having him on. I'm attacked so much, 99% of the attacks on us wouldn't even tell you about. So I'm a big boy. The point is, I just asked for financial support at thealexhillshore.com, and I'll keep going until the wheels come off.
Absolutely. And, Alex, I have 800 followers on X. I've had over 25 America First grassroots candidates on my show, and I've actually had an impact on this. So I'm hoping that some of the leaders in independent media.
No, I agree, but I think you just said it. There you are with a smaller show, and I bet you're reaching a lot of people. What's the name of your show?
It's the Nimrod Pod at the Nimrod Pod on X. I've had your son on. He's become a pretty good friend.
No, I've seen your show. You guys do a good job. You wear a mask.
Yes, we do.
All right, thanks for the call, buddy. Great call. I can talk to him for hours. I got other people here. Let's go to Ed in Texas, also from Texas. Ed wants to talk about the future of the Republican Party. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, I'm kind of going back and forth on this. There's something that came up years ago that we haven't really talked about. Or I haven't heard it on your show, was instead of dealing with this with a third party, in the Constitution it calls for Article 5, a convention of states. Every once in a while this gets hyped up a little bit as a way to kind of circumvent Congress and get some real stuff done, but nothing ever really seems to go forward. Why is that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My microphone, my headset cut out in the last 5 seconds. Say that again.
A convention of states, Article 5 in the Constitution that allows people outside of Congress to actually pass laws. Why has that never gotten any traction?
Well, constitutional convention is very, very dangerous, but we are in an emergency situation, and the Democrats during one of those could, and the deep state could flood the zone with their deep state money, with their dark money, and could really cause some problems. I'm not totally against the constitutional convention, but it is really the nuclear option. But so is getting rid of the filibuster. But notice they don't want to get rid of the filibuster because they want to block Trump's good parts of his agenda. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think the frustration with me is that it seems like no matter who we put in there, the system takes over. We get, and I don't want to use the word con, but yeah, we kind of get conned into backing these people and voting for them, and then they turn into being the exact same people that we just tried to vote out with no results.
And then we have to vote in more people. Well, but if you look at Europe and also here, we get better and better candidates. We're blocking more of what they do. The globalists are more hated than ever. It's a long process. So don't get demoralized by the fact that some of our people go sideways. That's just the nature of 10 billion people, the nature of the complexity of society, and the nature of the decadence. You know, just because you're informed and engaged and involved doesn't mean other people are. So it's a process of getting other people involved. And even if there's a total collapse because of corruption, then we have the seeds of the new civilization that are already in place. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, your last caller thought that 2028 was going to be too soon for a third party. I don't agree with that. And the reason I don't agree with that is because of the trajectory of the current Democratic Party. What Trump kind of did, and where I think you and I and others like us got excited with this last administration, were pulling some of those Democrats over into this way with us, the Tulsis and the Kennedys. And maybe there could be more of that in the future if the Democrat platform is going to continue to be that of, you know, Sharia law and communism. that won't do anything but really help us.
And that's what Trump's running on is, I'm not a communist, I'm not an Islamicist. Okay, but you're looting us and selling us out to foreign interest and to Israel. And so it's just a disaster. But it's because you've got all these big special interests that have the money and the bureaucrats and the lobbyists. They're the only ones that are able to have the power to press the levers. Take the NRA. Not perfect, milquetoast. But because we had a powerful lobby that the public gave money to, that the public supported, we're winning the Second Amendment fight everywhere. And if we've got a pro-life lobby, so we're starting to win that. And so when we build our own grassroots lobbies, and when we donate money, and when we knock on doors, and when we get energized and aggressive, we win. So freedom isn't free. We have to now continue to build our grassroots lobbies that are informed and that stand up for real issues. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It's not the perfect system, but it's the one we got. So we just got to keep playing and hopefully get more wins than losses.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, we know if we give up, it's going to be total, complete hell on earth communist takeover.
Absolutely.
So that's just the nature of the world. Thanks for the call. These are great calls. We're going to go to break and you know, people are talking about different issues, things they want to do. Godzilla says Trump's is the future of Masonic America. Miss Lou says we must vote, thinks Fishback is a scammer. Carmen says Muslim problems in Florida. Where aren't they? Only place there ain't Muslim problems is where there aren't. Then we got Dave, flock cameras near his home. We're going to come back, jam those calls in, and then I'm going to air my interview with the former director of national counterterrorism, Joe Kent, where we get into the latest nightmare developments in Iran, Trump's runway running out to get out of this before it's too late, and the latest on the cover-up of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And then Matt Bracken's coming in to join me to talk about Russia threatening to attack NATO, gearing up to do it, the latest on Iran, and more. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Fight for our sovereignty, to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, oh, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. Your own enemy. He does that to guests. He was like, Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gave back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
this. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
This shower filter slays 95% of the lead, 99% of the chlorine, and keeps that damn atrazine out of your water. Protect yourself. Don't let them turn you gay. Purify it now.
Mother, do you really want to shower with me? Do you want to clean everything? Oh, mother!
I'm not gay. You are.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, I want to get to a lot of your calls, so that means I got to cut you short, even though you're making great points, so we'll never get to the next person. It's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. Let's go to Rune in Denmark. Rune in Denmark on the Iran war. Welcome and thank you.
Well, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Hello, Alex. So I want to make a long story short. We've seen the latest media now says Iran is done talking with America with regards to landing a deal, and they're just waiting for Trump's period as president to be over. Do you think that's actually going to be the end goal, that the Iran thing is over for now, or will Trump try to attack again after the midterms. Maybe Iran will land a deal with the Democrats in 28, or where do you see this going?
I mean, the deal Iran just put forward is the same deal that they want. First, they said $500 billion, then they said $300 billion in reparations, and they want our military out of the bases. So they've put forward the same plan. They've closed the strait again. They hold all the cards. Trump knows that we don't have enough missiles even to defend the United States. This is a major strategic defeat. Trump just keeps calling it a negotiation because he doesn't want to admit the defeat. And he knows we shouldn't do a nuclear war. He doesn't want a nuclear war. He knows we can't do that. He knows we don't have the boots for the ground. So this is just Trump putting off the inevitable, admitting defeat.
I completely agree. My Twitter account is still relatively small, but when this Iran thing started, I was on 200 followers, and I was strongly against the war. And now I'm soon in 2000, extensively talking about this war. And I feel like I've been pretty accurate so far. I said even before this started that unless America sends in troops, it's going to be the end of Trump's presidency. And I think that's where we are right now. I mean,
and that's why I tried to get him to stop it. Israel wanted full war during Midnight Hammer, and the infiltrators went, no, no, you're a panicker. They don't want full war. Israel said this was to get us into full war and was begging Trump to go to full war. And now Trump has screwed up the economy, destroyed his legacy. We'll probably lose the midterms. It's a total disaster. And I wanted him to succeed. It's so sad.
I completely agree. The other development in the Middle East, I don't know if you saw, but now Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan are now having a new alliance. Do you think that's actually going to be a thing? Or?
Oh, yeah. When Israel starts saying, next we're going to attack Turkey, Saudi Arabia isn't dumb. They know what that means. So that's what I mean. Israel's bit off more than they can chew, too.
I completely agree. So do you think that's it for Iran now, or will something re-happen again after the midterms? Will Trump attack again, or where do you see this going? The next 2 years, there's a lot. He's only halfway through his presidency. A lot can still happen.
I don't think Trump knows where it's going. I think it's all on the table. A nuclear false flag blamed on Iran's on the table. Trump getting assassinated blamed on Iran's on the table. Trump launching a giant kinetic attack after the midterms, but he's pissed off because we've checked this with internal sources. What we see in the news is accurate. They're about 4 years out from the average missile being replaced. That's how far behind they are. And so that's how many of the stores they've used of the missiles. Some of the missiles are down 70% on average, about 55%. And then you need all those missiles just to fight China. You need all those missiles just to fight Russia. And so we're all about precision-guided munitions. Well, we just don't have enough of them. I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling from Denmark. God bless you. Let's go. I'm only moving quick because we're going to run out of time here. Matt Bracken's coming up and Joe Ken. Let's go ahead and talk to Dave. Who's holding the longest here? Would that be Dave? No, that wouldn't be Dave. Miss Lou. Miss Lou, go ahead. And then Godzilla. Go ahead, Miss Lou.
Thanks, Alex. Listen, I'm going to push back on a single statement of not voting, okay? People have to get out and vote. All eyes on the midterms. The Republican Party's a mess, no question. You've already throughout this show talked about all the problems. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to tell people we need to continue to work on resetting the Republican Party so that it continues with America First principles. If we lose the midterms, you know darn well what'll happen. The left will get hold of everything. They'll impeach Trump, even if the Senate doesn't agree. And I think the Senate would agree because most of them are anti-Trump anyway, as it would seem. But think about open borders. Think about total censorship. I won't be talking to you on your show. It'll be ramped up. You remember Nina Jankowicz in Biden's regime, the Ministry of Truth? Those censorship principles will be back in, and they'll come on X.
Yeah, I wonder if Tucker's going to ask Hunter Biden about Jankowicz and the Ministry of Truth. I mean, I love Tucker.
Well, no, I know you do. And listen, I'm not a big fan, okay? So there you have it there. And I saw some of the clips of him talking to Hunter. And it almost seemed like a pro, candidacy show, like, let's go, Hunter. No way in Helsinki.
Well, let me be clear. When I said at the start of the show, I think we should vote Republican. I think we should be engaged. But part of me is so pissed I could sit it out. That was a hypothetical to listeners.
I know. But we have to look a different way now. We have to focus. We're so close in. We have to tell people, get off their butts, get off their chairs, get out. If you were MAGA, if you weren't MAGA, if you were America First, whatever. If you voted for Trump and you were Democrat, get out there and vote Republican, because the Red-Green Alliance has taken over the Democrat Party. It's full-on communist. It's the DSA. It's all of it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, not Tucker, but some others, are being friendly to the Democrats because they don't want to be put in prison by them when they come back into control. Notice you don't see the Democrats on my show because they know it ain't happening. All right, thank you so much. Talk to you all day. Look, I'm out of time here. I got the Joe Kent interview coming up. Godzilla and Sam, I'll put you the head of the line tomorrow if you give us your name and number. I will take calls again tomorrow. You got the War Room coming up as well. But I got this powerful interview I want to premiere here with Joe Kent, the former head of counterterrorism. He dropped some major bombshells, and I want to just briefly plug, because I didn't plug the last 2 hours. I can't do this without your support. I'm supported by you, not by Israel, not by Qatar, not by anybody but you, thealexjonesstore.com. We got huge 50% off sale on some of the supplements right now. 1 week out of each month, there's a time where every order you get 100x entry to win the sweepstakes on two vehicles, because there's one a month, there's a crossover in this 1 week at thealexjonesstore.com. Great Ford Super Truck and the Ram Super Truck, they're incredible, and $20,000 in cash. So be sure and know that every purchase, every dollar you spend puts you 100x in only this week, plus $20,000 in cash, to potentially win both trucks. Nobody's done that yet, but it definitely doubles your chances of winning, and so much more, thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I want to thank you all for your incredible support over the years. It's been amazing, and I just salute you and thank you all. All right, here's the Joe Kent interview. Very important. Hope you boost this and share it. People need to see this. And then I got Matt Bracken coming up that I'm going to be talking to. Stay with us. We'll be back with Matt Bracken after this interview with Joe Kent.
It was well known that if we got into a war with Iran where they felt that they were threatened and it was an existential conflict, that they would shut down the Straits of Hormuz, that they would use their proxies, and the proliferation of drone technology and ballistic missiles only made this worse, that they would hit all of our bases in the region, and that this exact scenario would unfold. This is where some people will say that we've been hyperbolic, where we say that this could lead to a nuclear exchange. I don't think that's off the table, because if you play out the scenarios, the military options, and you say our criteria for success is, you know, a total surrender by the Iranians, you arrive at nuclear weapons very, very quickly. And I thoroughly believe that our wars in the Middle East made us here in America less safe. They made our country less prosperous. And I don't want anything to do with sending more young men and women off to die on foreign battlefields.
The Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news today.
So we are 160 plus days into this full bore war. And I tell you, I don't get excited talking to Hollywood people or sports people. I don't care about all that. But Joe Kent, amazing military veteran, you name it, the former head of the National Counterterrorism Center, resigned 2 weeks into this disastrous war and blueprinted and predicted what was going to happen and said, Trump, I love you. You read his letter, we'll post it here. This is going to be a disaster. He's been proven right. And people like him are still being demonized by the corporate media that wants this war. People that lied Trump into it are seen as a hero. So it was great to be part of this debate that Brandon Strzok put out that's going to be aired in about a week on just the civil war within MAGA. But I don't think it's a civil war. I think it's people that care about America, as you've said, that are just simply trying to put their two cents in to try to correct the course. But back when you said what you said, I agree with you because I'd studied the same information, didn't have all your sources, but I thought you were right, probably right. Now you've been proven right, but I've noticed in all the interviews I've seen, you're not doing a victory lap. You seem pretty sad about the fact that you were proven right. So if you can just kind of brief the American people and brief President Trump on an off-ramp here and where you think this is going, as you were so accurate before, if we don't turn this around.
Well, we have a narrow window to actually end the war and get out of it right now. We have a tentative, not ceasefire on paper, but we're not actively shooting at the Iranians. However, President Trump believes that he needs to have a piece of paper or some sort of a formal deal. The Iranians simply will not give him a formal deal. We have galvanized the Iranian people around the current regime by killing the supreme leader, by the tragic strike that we did against the girls' school. The Iranians right now believe this war is existential for their survival. They're not going to give President Trump Trump a deal, they have every incentive right now to suck us back into a protracted conflict to make us withdraw in a military defeat. They feel they need to do that for their own deterrence. So what I think President Trump needs to do is basically walk away from the table, get our troops out of striking distance. We've already proven that our bases in the Middle East are nothing more than a strategic liability rather than an asset. So we need to get rid of those bases anyways, because what good is a military base you can't fight a war from? So get our troops out and then start negotiating with the Iranians by using our diplomatic and economic leverage. The Iranians, right now, they want to shut down the Straits of Hormuz. But once we leave as the aggressor, they will lose their justification to keep the Straits shut down. We can then go to the Iranians and say, if you want sanction relief, if you want the potential of having your assets unfrozen, simply open the Straits of Hormuz back up again. Then President Trump can actually say that he did win and now we have commerce flowing once again. We have oil and energy flowing. If he doesn't do that and he stays in a way that we can be drugged back into the war by the Iranians or even by the Israelis, then we're probably going to have to escalate to some form of a ground incursion, because we've kind of reached our effective limit of how much we can continue to bomb Iran. So this is a really critical juncture, and I can't encourage President Trump and everybody who supports President Trump enough to contact the White House, contact your representatives, and just try and put as much pressure on President Trump respectfully to say, hey, look, you've accomplished your objectives. We need to get out of this war now before it escalates further.
Now, today, what you say seems common sense. Oh, everybody knows that. But when you said that 150 days ago, how did you know that as the director of national counterterrorism? I mean, why were you willing to resign? You said, hey, I appreciate working for you. I respect you, but I got to do this to get your attention. Obviously, behind the scenes, you tried. That's all classified. But now you're vindicated. What are the different scenarios if he doesn't get on an off ramp now? Because when you get the Iranians, 93 million people committed, and they got the Strait of Hormuz, sure, they're going to get destroyed, but we're going to get really hurt in this process anyways. That's never what we claimed we were being signed on for. It's about getting rid of nuclear stuff or missiles, but really it's about regime change. Then you have Israel heavily admitting they're involved, driving this to use us as their proxy like NATO uses Ukraine. This is really a terrible strategy.
It's horrible. I mean, I resigned because I watched the Israeli government essentially, you know, convince President Trump that we needed to get in this war. I think that if the Israelis weren't involved, if the Israelis didn't have the level of access to President Trump and to our administration, then we never would have gotten into this war in the first place. It's a big reason why I resigned. I also could not be part of a war that's sending young men and young women off to die on a foreign battlefield. Tragically, we've already lost 18. I spent the vast majority of my young life fighting on foreign battlefields. I lost my late wife in Syria. I just personally morally cannot be part of another endless war inside the Middle East. And so,
by the way, few Green Berets have fought 11 tours, whatever it is, and lost their wife. I mean, it's not like you have particular credibility.
Yeah, yes. I spent most of my life in this fight, and I thoroughly believe that our wars in the Middle East made us here in America less safe. They made our country less prosperous, and I don't want anything to do with sending more young men and women off to die on foreign battlefields. Like, as a warrior of my generation, I will not send the next generation off to fight in these wars.
Can anybody quantify how much worse of a target or more dangerous a target than Iran is to Iraq? Well, the topography, the people, the Shiites versus the, I mean, I don't think even Iraq's a proper comparison. What about Vietnam? I mean, it's not just that I believe you. I read what other war gamers say, what think tanks say. That's why no president ever did this, yeah. Is like Iran's like Mordor with those mountains and all of it. This is not who you want to go get in a fight with. Right?
No, it's not. And you know, you've been very, very generous and nice and said that I was accurate, and I was accurate, but this is not because like Joe Kent is like the smart geostrategic, you know, scholar. That we had done the war gaming for decades on what a war with Iran would look like. This was all known.
Yeah,
a lot of it's unclassified. I mean, it was well known that if we got into a war with Iran where they felt that they were threatened and it was an existential conflict, that they would shut down the Straits of Hormuz, that they would use their proxies, and the proliferation of drone technology and ballistic missiles only made this worse, that they would hit all of our bases in the region, and that this exact scenario would unfold very, very quickly. Unfortunately, because of the Israeli influence, President Trump didn't hear that information. He just heard how easy it was going to be, you know, how quick and simple. But President Trump has backed himself into a corner where he says we have to have some sort of a total surrender. We have to have a military victory. And you just simply can't do that in Iran. It is too big. The population is too dense. As you pointed out, the terrain, Iraq is relatively flat, minus some mountains in the north. north. So we were able to basically envelop Iraq on its borders with a conventional ground invasion. Now, even trying something like that, if Iran didn't have the mountains in the era of drones and ballistic missiles, it just wouldn't be feasible. We hit that sweet spot in 2003 where we were able to do that. But then even once we got into Iraq, the idea that just simply holding ground means you win, our fights in Iraq and Afghanistan over the last 20 plus years, they prove that that's not the intent.
And Iraq, mainly the Shiites, which was just the leading edge of the Iranians, yeah. The IEDs, all of it.
IEDs, and they proved to be very, very effective fighters, and we proved that we cannot actually just dominate a society with counterinsurgency tactics, counterterrorism tactics.
Well, if the Iranians tried to dominate us, we'd kick their ass.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. So the idea that we are going to be able to get some sort of a total military victory here, it's just not feasible. Now, unless, and this is where some people will say that we've been hyperbolic, where we say that this could lead to a nuclear exchange, I don't think that's off the table. Because if you play out the scenarios, the military options, and you say our criteria for success is, you know, a total surrender by the Iranians, you arrive at nuclear weapons very, very quickly. And the ramifications that would have on, number one, it'd be immoral, but then also the ramifications it would have on the world stage.
Now, slow down for a minute. And we already ended this soon, so you got to go. We've just did a five-hour debate, but... Explain a threat escalation ladder, which is standard military study and doctrine. For the average person, that's like space alien or Martian. Explain, like, this is a known war game course we're on.
100%, yeah. So the escalation ladder, it's played out exactly as predicted so far. I mean, we took a swing at Iran. Unfortunately, we went even higher order when we killed the supreme leader. And so now there's an even bigger rally around the flag effect. But then the Iranians hit us back, and then we feel that we have to hit them back. They put a blockade in the Straits of Hormuz. We put a blockade in the Straits of Hormuz. And so now we're in this scenario where we have to continue to escalate. And as you pointed out, just the characteristics of Iran, we're not going to be able to militarily beat it. So we're going to end up in a long, protracted quagmire. And so that's why I'm advocating for us to just, hey, President Trump is a businessman. He understands if you don't like the deal and you can't negotiate a better deal, walk away. You don't need a deal to get out of the bad deal that you don't like. As a businessman, you would walk away.
But when you resigned and were very respectful and thanked Trump, you said, I'm doing this so you take a pension and get off an off-ramp. You got demonized by the surrogates. Now you're totally vindicated. And he telegraphs, criticizes Israel, so does the vice president, but still he doesn't stand up to it. You warned in your letter, and then later you said the big thing will be Israel dragging you back. How do we deal with that? Because I know you're not an enemy of Israel, and neither am I, but I am against the current leadership that isn't even thinking about their own interest, second or third order, but is only thinking about their own first order developments of greater Israel. I mean, it's true megalomania, I think. If you were Trump, let's just put it this way. If you were Trump, what would you do?
We have to go beyond just saying, hey, Israel, stop doing these strikes, or hey, we told the Israelis. I had a stern conversation with Bibi. The only thing the Israelis will actually understand is us changing the relationship with them. I would immediately cut off all military assistance. I would pull a lot of the military assistance that we give in terms of defending their airspace. I would pull that immediately, and I would say, until you do exactly what we say, this relationship is done, because they have already shown in the course of this conflict over the last, you know, 100 plus days that as we move closer and closer to getting a deal with the Iranians, the Israelis would step in consistently and take some action, whether it was killing negotiators inside Iran or whether it was taking strikes against Hezbollah and then also Lebanese civilians inside Lebanon. The Israelis would do everything they could to scuttle those efforts to get us to peace. And so the reason why the Israelis' behavior hasn't changed is because they've never gotten anything more than a stern talking to. You have to give them something more than a stern talking to. We have to start taking away the aid that we give them. Otherwise, we cannot reset the relationship. And they will continue to think, rightfully so, that they can influence our politics.
Well, there are a lot of people that think when we're, like, talking about reality with the Iranians, we're on their side. You fought these guys, and, you know, literally in a proxy war, and you lost family dealing with all the crazy stuff that goes over there. But this is reality. Whether you're for the war or not, it's not working as you predicted, as the Pentagon predicted, as the war games predicted. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Trump has to understand that if he just continues to play the same game, it's only going to hurt the country and hurt the world more. But then I sit back and watch the whole Israel lobby and AIPAC with Thomas Massie and others, and you're talking about how we deal with them over there, cutting off the military aid so they, you know, at least don't act like they're the boss. What do we do domestically about AIPAC?
Education. I think that's really the big thing. If we look at the divide when Massey unfortunately lost his primary, most younger voters, people under the age of like 50, so Gen X, our generation, and down, they voted for Massey. They saw through the propaganda because of, you know, social media, because of new media, like what you've been doing for your entire career. But there still is a lot of older voters, the baby boomers that are watching Fox or watching New York Times. So I think the more that we can educate, you know, our parents' generation about the realities of what's taking place, I think that that's the best way. We also need to get younger people out there to vote and actually participate in primaries or participate in the process. And we need to be very loud and very vocal on this issue that we do not want foreign governments involved in our decision making. We won't let foreign governments take us off the war. Luckily, I think in the 2028 primary on both the Republican and the Democrat side, I think this is going to be a hot button wedge issue.
I agree. Last question. Obviously, I don't think Erica Kirk killed Charlie Kirk. I don't believe any of that stuff. Obviously, the trans movement said they were going to kill Charlie. They bragged when he died. They said we did it. So I don't know the truth, but it's a huge, I mean, you're obviously got your finger on the pulse. People don't buy the official story. And I know, not from you, but other sources, that meeting that I reported on that later was confirmed where Cash Patel says, we're not looking at foreign involvement. We're not looking at I talked to TPUSA. They said, yeah, no, Cash said, we're not looking at the people that said he'll be dead tomorrow. You said, well, I don't know who the foreign thing is. I just know we have these hits. I don't know. And so I'm going to ask you to give me answers, but people are going to ask me, hey, you know, ask Joe Kent about this. This thing just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's so many other big issues out there, but just, I didn't tell you I was going to ask this question. I just thought of it at the end, so it wasn't pre-planned. But just in general, what do you make of that whole fiasco? And, you know, months and months and months, almost a year into this, September's coming up in just like a month and a half. What do you, gut level, what do you think's going on here? And why is this such a big, because we all love Charlie. I mean, he called me up like about before he got, you know, killed. Said, keep pressing the Epstein thing, get it out, keep pushing against the Iran war. They're pushing it. He was a great guy. But I have to tell you, most things I can figure out, Joe, I can't figure this out.
Well, you know, we were removed from continuing to investigate when we had legitimate foreign leads. And now, foreign nexus, foreign leads, that could be a foreign person, that could be a country, that could be a foreign business. Now, in an investigation, when you're looking at things, you run down 100 leads and 99 and a half of them are absolute garbage. So maybe the leads that we were looking at wouldn't have led anywhere. However, I don't believe that we did a thorough job of investigating all the different angles. That doesn't mean I don't think the guy that's in custody did it. That's going to play out in court. I was looking at the more of the external factors. I still have a hard time with the fact that there was people that were posting on social media ahead of time who said that Charlie Kirk was going to die that day in Utah, in UVU. And so to me, it's just like, well, there was obviously other people involved.
Charlie's own people told, you talked to him, Harrison, about before, Charlie thinks he's going to get killed.
Yes, so there's obviously, I think, more investigative work that needs to be done there. Now, is the Robinson case going to be the catalyst for more of that? That I don't know, but, you know, what I get frustrated with is where there are people who are asking very, very legitimate questions, that there has been a chorus coming from, you know, a certain element in the media that said, stop asking questions, and now they're going after people who are asking questions. And so, I mean, just like Charlie Kirk himself said, like, never stop asking questions because it's the only thing that keeps us free. So I think there's a lot more answers that we need in terms of, you know, who killed Charlie Kirk, how and why.
Well, it's like a Rubik's Cube, and I care about Charlie, too, but something you can't, because I'm being honest, people ask, what do you really think? I don't know. It's so weird, and none of it adds up. But exactly, why are they ordering any foreign involvement, even if it's tenuous or, you know, you're not sure, maybe it's nothing. Why not have a foreign investigation if there's nothing to hide? To me, that's when I go, I'm going to be completely honest, folks. There's been a lot of made-up stuff on the side of SUPUSA and all that. But at the same time, there's a lot of other crazy stuff. You are working hard to defend this country and speak out, not just your 11 tours and losing your wife in combat and all the rest of it, what you're doing now for the country. How do people follow Joe Kent? How do they support what you're doing? Because I'm really impressed with what you're doing. We're really thankful for you.
I think social media, X and Instagram are the place where I'm the most active.
What's the handles?
Joe Kent, 16JN19 on both.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Hahaha! Well, hello there, folks. Feast your eyes on the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Who the hell is that?
I just got a call from Rob. He said he saw some goblin riding a crocodile lurking around our studio.
I found you, Alex. My crocodile monsters and I are onto you now. There is nowhere left to run. Best damn day of my life!
Yeah, ain't it?
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Well, hello, Matt Brackenin. Just spent the last week in South Florida in Pompano Beach, which, compared to how it was in the 80s, Pompano Beach is just amazing now. It kind of reminds me of Fort Lauderdale in the good old days. Anyway, I'm back at home base and ready to do the next hour. Going to talk about Iran, what else, some, but maybe with a little bit of a different emphasis instead of just following the daily, what is Iran doing? What's Trump doing? I want to put it into a larger context of what's happening to the American military and really the American economy, the American culture overall. Because I think that we're not just on the verge of losing the war in Iran. I think that we're losing out completely. The American unipolar moment, which began with the fall of the Soviet Union. What a squandered opportunity. We literally grabbed the piggy bank and just thought we could live off it forever. Just as the kings of the world, never mind preparing for the next century. And I don't know if they got the pictures that I sent in there, but we've really gone into this war with an obsolete military. If you can put up that first one that shows the four panes, the 21st century versus the 20th, I don't know if you have those available, but our military was set up to win third world brush wars in the 20th century. That's what it was great at. We could drive right up to the coast of Libya. We could drive right up to the coast of Yugoslavia. And we could exert our will by just having aircraft flying from nearby bases like in Italy or from our aircraft carriers, and nobody could do anything about it. Even the 1991 Desert Storm War, where we pushed Iraq out of Kuwait, we spent 6 months loading war material in Saudi Arabia and bringing in Marines and soldiers for almost a year before we went into Kuwait in Desert Storm. That era is as obsolete as that 19th century cavalry picture up there. If you've sent the 19th century cavalry against those World War I tanks, they would be massacred. And that's obvious to everybody now. That's clear. Nobody would even think about disputing that. But the difference between our 20th century air warfare and what Iran has prepared is just as big of a difference. Our air power depends on this choreography of attack planes and air refuelers, all of which have to be parked on concrete runways and aprons. They can't just be pushed off in the desert somewhere.
like the you know, one of those mothball air fleets in Arizona. They have to be on concrete, which means a very limited number of runways. Well, in the first part of this war, we've been pushed, our air forces have been pushed out of their bases close to Iran, you know, in Kuwait, in United Arab Emirates, and even in Saudi Arabia, our planes have been attacked. Now they're bunched up in a limited number of bases in Jordan and Israel. And if Trump decides to go for one more big air war, it's going to be an absolute disaster for the United States. People will mark this as the end and the defeat of 20th century warfare compared to the modern 21st century war that Iran has been preparing and building for decades and decades. Now, we're going to talk about this some more on the other side of the top of the hour when we come back after this break. So if you don't support the InfoWars store, goodbye, InfoWars. And I'll see you again. You'll have me for the rest of the hour. Matt Bracken, that's me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
All right, I'm back. I'm sorry if I sound black-pilled. I am in the sense that we went into the wrong war with the wrong military, suited for the last century, not this century. And I hope that people are finally getting through to Trump that further escalation of this is not going to work for us. It's definitely not. Now, apparently he listens to these Fox News generals all the time, former generals Keen and Kellogg, who seem to be trapped in a time warp back around 1992 when the U.S. could just bring ships into the Persian Gulf, unload tanks, artillery, troops, anything that they wanted. No limit, just bring it on into the Persian Gulf. And then what happened? A rocket revolution happened. Things that we could do even a decade ago, we can't do anymore. People should have been learning this from the Ukraine-Russia war. This is now where you can't even send tanks forward. A tank is a dead duck in the Ukraine-Russia war anywhere near the forward lines. It'll be destroyed by drone swarms immediately. Troops can't even go out in squad strength. They'll be spotted by their signatures day or night and attacked with drones. Troops have to dash out in twos and threes and hope to make it to cover and not be seen by drones. So that the idea that we're going to be able to launch new big air attacks on Iran is just insane at this point. It's totally insane. So I don't understand the thinking of these Fox News generals that are still pushing for even, you know, taking out so-called Pickaxe Mountain or landing troops on Karg Island. I don't understand how they can be so oblivious to what's been happening in military technology and military operations in the last decade. It just blows my mind. And it makes me really wonder about our planners when we've created a system of of multi-million dollar single-use standoff weapons, you know, both interceptors and offensive weapons. $1, $2, $3, $4 million a shot. And now we've depleted them, maybe more than half, our defensive and offensive high-tech weapons. They're gone in this period of time, just the last, you know, the last 5 months, gone. Depleted to the point where we can't even threaten Iran seriously now, much less be able to take on China or Russia. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise, this war, because it might inoculate us from the absolute madness of trying to go to war with China or Russia, because we can't even handle Iran. And people will say, Matt, that's because we just haven't taken the gloves off. You know, you still hear people using this expression, finish the job, like just a few more bombing runs and the Iranians are going to surrender. Okay. If you put up at the, number three, the one with the B-52 on it, that's, the next thing I want to talk about is to compare the Iran war to end the technology to the Vietnam War and the technology that was available then. And at that time, yeah, stick that up if you can get number three. But in that time, we could fly over Vietnam backwards and forwards, unlimited B-52 strikes, iron bombs dropping straight down from the sky, you know, from, you know, 35,000 feet up. We dropped more tons of bombs on little South Vietnam and North Vietnam than we did on all of German-occupied Europe during World War II, three times more. We could fly from Thailand to Guam, back and forth, Thailand, Guam, raining bombs down on Vietnam. They couldn't fire up at us from in the south. The Viet Cong had nothing. We could just fly at will, dropping any tonnage of bombs we wanted straight down. That was true carpet bombing, where the craters are intersecting front and back, side by side, with airplanes, you know, next to each other, all to cut off South Vietnam from being resupplied from China and Russia down the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which ran parallel to South Vietnam in Laos and Cambodia. We had almost a decade to try to accomplish this mission. Unlimited B-52 raids, arc light strikes. You know, Hanoi, yeah, we had some shot down. We had POWs. It wasn't enough to stop us from just bombing at will North and South Vietnam. They didn't surrender. Iran is 10 times bigger than South Vietnam, and they can shoot back. We can't fly over Iran today. We have to have our planes take off now from Jordan or Israel. If they're going to attack, they have to take off from Jordan or Israel, fly towards Iran. It's so far, they have to refuel with those big tankers. There's old, like, based on, believe it or not, 707s, most of them, the KC-135s. They have to refuel in mid-flight just to approach Iran to launch a multi-million dollar standoff weapon to fire into Iran, which will drop one bomb on one target. Then that attack jet has to turn around, refuel again, and land back in Jordan or Israel. Folks, this is as obsolete in 2026 as that horse cavalry. It's totally obsolete. So when people are saying finish the job, we haven't even scratched Iran. Compared to what we did to South Vietnam, we haven't scratched Iran. We are hitting the same bridges and they repair them. All their real targets are under these granite mountains in these missile cities, hundreds of feet under granite, built to withstand tactical nuclear weapons. So the idea that a few more weeks of bombing is going to change anything in Iran is a total joke. Iran is massive. If we run out of standoff weapons, which we're on the verge of doing, then we have to fly attack jets right over Iran. That means we're going to lose a lot of pilots. In Vietnam, it was very, the whole Vietnam country is very narrow. Okay. So it was very close to the ocean. So when pilots were shot down, we had a real good shot at scooping them up with our rescue forces, you know, with the Air Force PJs and other teams. That's not going to be the case in Iran. Iran is so much bigger. It's hundreds and hundreds of kilometers inside of Iran where our attack planes will have to go when we run out of standoff weapons, which we're on the verge of doing. So, yeah, pretty much forget about any more big air attacks. So when you see the Fox News generals talking about this stuff, I think that they're just talking right out their ass. I don't understand it. It's very hard for me to comprehend how they can be so dumb, unless maybe they're just on, you know, corporate boards that are paying them to say these things. Because for sure, it's great times if you're Boeing or Lockheed Martin, it's great. Trump has said, oh, I want plans in 3 weeks for how we're going to, you know, ramp up production enormously. Well, you can't. These aren't artillery shells. We're not talking about combat boots. We're talking about super, super high-tech weapons that cost millions of dollars a shot. In fact, I did a little research. To drop a pound of high explosive from an iron bomb like the B-52 compared to dropping the same pound of high explosive from a Tomahawk or a JASSM, it's like 500 times more expensive with the new standoff weapon. To get one warhead onto one target is like 500 times more expensive than it was when we could just fly over Vietnam raining iron bombs vertically straight down. No country can afford that. We built a military that was based on being able to slap around countries like Libya and Yugoslavia. It was not a country or a war plan that could sustain itself. It worked in 1991 because the Iranian Scuds, they had some, were so inaccurate that we didn't really have to worry too much about them. We could just pile up military gear, tanks, personnel in a few bases in Saudi Arabia for months, just cities of troops, just, you know, warehouses and docks and pavement areas just loaded with pallets of shells. Today, those would be the easiest and first targets taken out. And we're coming to grips with that. If you can put up that map, it's the looming air battle. That's number two. This shows, you know, in a one picture, the problem that we're facing. Our bases for our aircraft are now so far away, it not only increases the flight time that they're in the air that they need, you know, they need to refuel at least once going in and coming out. But it also means they're not dispersed. They're on like a half dozen air bases, maybe a few more, because these aren't off-road vehicles. You don't park them on the sand. They have to be on concrete. So now all of these hundreds and hundreds of aircraft are stacked wingtip to wingtip in these known locations. I'm not giving away any secrets. It's 2026. The Chinese and the Russians sit with the Iranians and go over the latest satellite pictures. They know the minute that a C-17 lands, what's unloading from it. They know what it is. You know, and in the cell phone era, you can't keep a secret. If you have all these aircraft landing at some remote airbase, a guy in a taxi cab, an Uber, a local vendor, a guy that just lives there, he pulls out his phone and he takes pictures and uploads them. And in this era also, you can't really hide the bomb damage. We were talking about in Jordan taking away the phones from our troops so that they wouldn't reveal, you know, they were being struck. Well, it doesn't matter because civilians that are outside of the airfield taking pictures at the same time from different directions makes geolocation completely, you know, simple today. There's no way to keep these things secret. Our 19th century horse cavalry is, you know, over there in Jordan and Israel, and Iran's modern missile military is inside of granite mountains. if we tried to do a big air raid now, like, you know, another 40-day war, not only would we run out of these standoff weapons, and everybody knows we're running out, as soon as the first waves of refuelers took off, these airfields could be struck with missiles that only take 10 minutes to get there. So when the first, you know, the first 10 or 20% of the aircraft are airborne, their airfields would be hit with these Iranian missiles, many of which are designed, seem to me, designed specifically for airfields packed with aircraft, because they have these submunitions, people call them cluster munitions, where the warhead coming down splits into up to 80 submunitions to spread out like a shotgun. Because the reason this is important, aircraft parked on the ground are very vulnerable. It doesn't take much to disable an aircraft. If you bump into an aircraft, you know, if you the slightest accident, they have to put the aircraft down and really analyze it to make sure everything is fine. If you have fragments of concrete flying all over the place, even the aircraft that aren't directly hit, the aircraft are very likely to have warning lights going off all over the place, because one little electrical wire bundle, hydraulic line, or control cable is damaged, the aircraft can't fly. So as soon as the first quarter of our aircraft are in the air, Iran would hit the airfields, and that would pretty much scupper the rest of the attack. The aircraft that were in the air might not be able to return to that airfield if it's cratered and pitted. So they'd have to go to other airfields, maybe in neutral countries, where they wouldn't be able to just refuel and rearm for the next sortie. So as bad as it looks for us, being in a position where we can't even go back into the Persian Gulf now. Remember, before February 28th, the U.S. Navy had its bases in the Persian Gulf, right across from Iran. This had so many important aspects. For example, our Navy ships could provision with fresh food that would be flown in on transport planes, commercial and military, and then taken out to our ships, which were very nearby. Now our ships don't have access to those bases. They're stuck out in the Indian Ocean, you know, what, 10,000 miles from home, where there are no friendly ports. What, are they going to go to Liberty in Somalia? I mean, they're just stuck on these steel boxes for months and months at a time, with the morale going down as they're jammed together, with their food supplies getting, you know, to the bottom of the pantry. You know, the stuff that they would have thrown out normally is what our sailors are being fed. So you can see all of these consequences of losing these bases. The first thing that the Iranians did back in March was take out the long-range radar and the giant satellite uplinks. Well, those were destroyed, meaning that the warning time for our forces back in Jordan and Israel are cut, but it also means we may never be able to come back into those bases. Those big projects require coming in on a ship. You know, these aren't things that you can put on an aircraft. You don't rebuild a base with supplies brought in on an aircraft. It has to come in on a ship. Well, the Iranians are never going to let our ships back in. This has just been a complete, utter failure, a real disaster. And unfortunately, there's no way we can escalate our way out of this. Our escalations will just make it worse for us. So I'm, in a sense, glad that this happened with Iran, because it's going to inoculate us from any concept of being able to come to the defense of Asia. If you can stick up, it's number 8. It's like a big whole map of Iran, China, everything. This map shows the range of Iran's just intermediate range ballistic missiles. These are like, can go out 1,000 kilometers. That covers all of Israel. That means our Navy ships have to be very careful inside of that red line. But look at the same concept around Asia. China's missiles are twice the range of those Iranian missiles. China's missiles can go all the way out covering all of the Philippines. You know, that can cover easily Guam. They have they have a class of missiles called the Guam Killer. That's like 2,000 kilometers from China. Our whole war plan is based on we'll just have our aircraft parked in Guam at Anderson Airfield. We'll just have our B-2s and our B-52s. They'll just be able to launch there. And our destroyers can go back to Guam and have new missiles put on them. You know, our destroyers can't reload at sea. They have to go back to a friendly port, and they use cranes to put those missiles in. Takes like a week. They can't. Where are they going to go back to if Guam is plastered with Chinese missiles? So maybe this is a good thing because it's exposing that we showed up to the 21st century with a 20th century military. It's just completely inadequate for what's going on. We're being shown to the world, essentially, to be a paper tiger. Yeah, it was great when our enemies were on the level of Libya or, you know, Syria, just firing some tomahawks, everything's good. And then we get to go on TV and brag about how we have the finest military in the world. But if you look at the Ukraine-Russia war, I don't think we have any kind of a military that could withstand that. The revolution in military affairs, from the little quadrotor drones up to these, you know, intermediate and medium range ballistic missiles, they're conventional warheads. But now when you combine precision and mass, meaning they're not something that's like plus or minus a kilometer anymore. These things are like, you know, 10 meter accuracy. And the Iranians now have a set of missiles that are even better than what the Russians are using, better than the Oreshniks. They have a missile called the Fatah, which has a new idea, which is a booster in the warhead, so that when it's on reentry to its final target, when it's coming down, it's going over 4 kilometers a second. I've learned this from watching the MIT professor Ted Postol on lots of different shows. But a warhead coming down, think of it, 4 kilometers a second, way faster than a rifle bullet. That's like a rifle bullet is like a airsoft gun compared to that. And the interceptors that we have to fire up at them are going 1 to 1.5 kilometers a second. That means their closing rate together in the last second, 1 second, is covering more than 5 kilometers of the interceptor going up and the warhead coming down. And according to Dr. Postol, our Patriots have been a big con job, a sales job, claiming a 90% success rate. When you study the videos, which you can do now, because it's, you know, they're filmed from every angle, you can analyze it, the rate is less than 10%. The Patriots and Thads have basically been a psyop, a morale booster. It's a way of saying, don't worry, it's okay, we have interceptors. This would be like giving police bulletproof vests that really weren't bulletproof. You know, it's great in peacetime if nobody is shooting at you. But in a real war, it's exposed that everything from the Desert Storm era in 91 until today, the Patriots haven't worked. So in a sense, it's irrelevant how many we can build in the next year or 2 years. They don't work. You're trying to shoot a bullet with a bullet. The bullet, the ballistic missile coming down, is always going to have a tremendous advantage over an interceptor that's trying to hit a bullet with a bullet at a closing rate of 5 kilometers a second. And now the Iranians not only have the booster on the reentry warhead, they have control mechanisms, fins, and little rockets to make the thing maneuver as it's coming down. So the interceptor, which is depending on a pure ballistic flight, a mathematical analysis that can take place in seconds and then launch and hit a warhead in the last second before it hits the ground. But the warhead maneuvers and the interceptor has zero chance. I mean, this is what we're up against now. We went to war with an obsolete military. The Iranians completely outclassed us in technology. They were ready for this war, and we're not. And I'm going to finish up on this subject and get to another one in the next segment when we come back. Thanks. Thanks for hanging in there with me.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Tired of gas prices? Tired of the war? Come see it. Introducing Trump Cruise to Hormuz. We got Mar-a-Lago face paves, Kid Rock, YMCA, but not gay, McDonald's 24/7. Nobody's done that on a boat. It's safe, it's beautiful, and kids eat free. Now look, the war costs every family $1,000. you're already paying. So for $4,000 more, you're on the boat. Call in the next 10 minutes. We'll throw in a second week. Nobody's leaving anyway. Great deal. Call now.
Total conflict cost estimated $600 billion. Cruise fare non-refundable. In the event of escalation, entertainment schedule continues as planned. Strait conditions may vary.
Thanks. Yeah, those are my novels in the back of my top of my Twitter. You know, before I finish up on just the Iran war part of this, I want to mention in two ways. I want to mention the troops, the soldiers that are at these forward bases, and the Marines and sailors that are out on the ships. Nobody thought that this would just go on, you know, for 5-6 months. Some of the ships have rotated in. Obviously, the troops have rotated in and out, but they're still in a really rough situation. You know, normally when in a war, we would talk about a ratio of KIA to WIA of 3 or 4 to 1. In this war, they're saying that there's only like in the low teens of killed in action, but hundreds are wounded. The only way I make sense of this is discussing what's called blast injury. Sometimes it's blended in with what they call traumatic brain injury. A lot of the troops that have been injured, it's my opinion, we'll find this out in the coming months and years, they weren't hit by a fragment, you know, that would cause a wound like a something piercing their body or amputating a limb. They have a minute or 2 minutes warning. They can get behind a blast barrier, but they're not in true bunkers like with pressure doors. They're just on the other side of a concrete barrier or sandbag barriers. That does not protect you from a blast wave. So if a blast wave is causing an overpressure that can just, you know, gut out the middle of buildings, that blast wave is going to cause permanent injuries to the people that are even like behind a, you know, concrete barrier. They're going to have, in many cases, permanent personality changes. So your happy-go-lucky spouse comes back a different person, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, or they may have lifelong balance issues, cognitive issues, memory issues. And this is going to be one of those subtle things for the VA to deal with, because anybody that can say, I was on such and such base when a missile hit, will be able to say to the VA, oh, I need help for whatever springs up 5 years from now. And it will. I think that this is going to be the like in the case of Vietnam, the Agent Orange, or in the case of Desert Storm, the Gulf War syndrome, you know, the poison gas from the burn pits, things like that, the noxious fumes that people are exposed to. I think that we're going to be finding out over the coming, you know, months and years about all of these blast injuries. And it's, you know, it's a spectrum. You may be 1,000 yards from it, or you may be 20 yards from this hit. So surviving it can be very different. The consequences can be very different. But that's the only way I can understand, you know, only a few killed, but hundreds having to be evacuated, you know, to the, like the hospitals in Germany. So I think there's a big opening for any honest, hardworking reporters out there to get to some of these people. I'm sure that they're being told shut up about it, but by now, a lot of them have to be home. They're not all going to be reporting back for duty if they've got traumatic brain injury and blast injuries, you know, organ damage. So I wish some reporters would get on this story. It makes me wonder, you know, why they're not. And out on the ships, people probably have a hard time, I think, understanding how tight the living conditions are on these ships, especially for the Marines, but sailors too. They're on bunks 3 high. So one guy's down at ankle level, one guy's at crotch level, and one guy's at his bunk is at like shoulder level. And there's a meter, about a yard, between the bunks on one side and the other of a berthing compartment. So these 6 guys are changing, you know, bare-ass naked in front of each other for 6 months. It's not good for morale. I mean, yeah, you can make jokes about it and everything, but I'll just give you a comparison. My father-in-law was on Iwo Jima. He landed on the first day. But a month before that, he was in Hawaii with like world-class rest and recreation. You know, when you can imagine what Hawaii was like in the 40s. It was a lot of fun for sailors and Marines on shore leave. And then when he wasn't on shore leave, they were doing training, practicing hitting beaches, getting in and out of boats, you know, shooting at the range. A month later, not 8 months or 10 months, 1 month later, he's on Iwo Jima for a month. But so there wasn't just such a long period of time of not knowing what's going to happen, of being penned up like, if you ever passed on the highway, one of these trucks carrying sheep, where they're just like, you can't imagine you can fit one more sheep or one more chicken into that truck. That's how our sailors and Marines are living. And they've scraped the bottom of the pantry. You know, they're eating the stuff that would have been thrown overboard in any other time. And I'm not blaming the Navy, but we used to have bases in the Persian Gulf. They used to be able to just provision readily. Now they're out in the Indian Ocean. It's all hostile territory. So give a thought to the condition of our troops that are out there. It's got to totally suck, I can tell you. Because it's not like you're cruising around the Med, you know, every 2 weeks you're going to spend a few days in Naples or Rota, Spain, or in Athens, Greece, or Haifa, Israel. It's not like that at all. You're just in that steel box for month after month while the food gets worse and worse. And I think that another casualty of this stupid war is going to be retention and reenlistment, because the sailors and Marines are going to get off that ship and say, I'm done. Never again. Not doing it. And who can blame them? Now I'm going to slightly pivot a little bit. If you can put up the map number 5, which like shows the different sea routes, something that's also just starting to get into the news a little bit, you know, if your antenna are pricked up for this, they're talking now about Chinese and Russian ships going over the top of Russia to get from Asia to Europe. Now, that map right there is a Mercator projection, so it's kind of distorted towards the top. It's square instead of tapered in. But if you read the numbers, that northern route is way shorter than the Suez route, and it's much, much shorter than the Cape Hope route. So in this war where the Houthis are blocking the bottom of the Red Sea, the Suez Canal can also, if this war gets out of control, the Suez Canal can also very easily be blocked. The Iranians, we think it was, could have been the Houthis, fired a drone about a week ago at a Egyptian LNG facility. It's like a ship that's permanently docked that receives LNG from a ship that goes port to port and then converts it back to gas and puts it into Egypt's gas pipeline system. Well, a drone flew into that as just a warning shot, not a kill shot. Just a drone in the superstructure, they put the fire out fairly easily. But it was a warning that we can hit you all the way from Iran or from Yemen. And if they have the accuracy which they've demonstrated to put missile warheads into individual buildings, which they have done, they can sink a ship in the Suez Canal anytime they want. Because a ship that's moving only, you know, under 10 miles an hour in a straight line is about as easy as a stationary target to hit because it's so predictable. The flight time of the missile is like 8 minutes. So it's not a hard math calculation. So the Suez Canal gets blocked. The Houthis continue to block the Red Sea, or they clamp down much more than they are now. Then you've got to go all the way around Africa to get from Europe to Asia. Or you can take that Russian route on the top, which is a big shortcut. And why am I bringing this up? If you can put up number 7, the picture of that ship. The Russians have built an entire class of these, what they call super icebreakers. These are nuclear powered, so they're never going to get stuck in the ice and run out of fuel, right? I mean, they could just sit there for years. They're massive, so that they make a channel 50 meters wide. The ship itself is like 35 meters wide. but it cuts a path right through thick Arctic ice that's enough for a 50-meter-wide ship to follow it, which is a ship in like the 100,000-ton class, serious merchant class size. Not like this, we're not talking like Great Lakes stuff. We're talking ocean-going ship size. They have a whole class of these. I think they've got like six in use now, and they're building more. They're going to keep this northern route open almost year-round, and this means friends of Russia will get the shortcut. So who cares? What's the big deal, Matt? Okay, so we have to go around Africa. Well, it adds a huge amount to the cost of shipping. If you're a friend of Russia, and you have to be a friend of Russia, because this route takes you right through Russian territory. There are big islands up above Siberia that are Russian, and this route goes right through there. So it's only friends of Russia that are going to use this shortcut from Asia to Africa. Already, South Korea has built ships to use this route, and smaller LNG ships without the bulbous bow, which obviously won't work in ice. That's the regular ship has that thing sticking out in front, the bulbous bow. So they build ships just for the Arctic route, and it's only going to be for friends of Russia. So look at how the Asian countries, our allies like Taiwan, Japan, Korea, are getting squeezed. You want to stick with the losing team, the team that can't even handle Iran, the team whose bases are being pushed far away from Iran, or do you want to get on the team that's China, Russia, Iran, and you'll be able to use that northern route. You'll be able to get LNG from up there or take that shortcut to Asia. You know, it's a question of loyalty. Well, you saw that map I put up with the ranges of the missiles. If you're Japan, you have to be thinking, America can't even defend, you know, the Gulf states against Iran. How is America going to defend Japan or Taiwan or the Philippines against China? Can't do it. Might love you guys, love it, but we can't stay with you because your military has proven that it can't win against even Iran. So we're going to have to go with the winning team, which looks like it's going to be China and Russia. And that's just how, you know, it's not that we don't love you, but we have to take care of our own country. And your missiles that can't even defend the Gulf states certainly can't defend us from China. So Taiwan, Vietnam, the Philippines, Japan, Korea, they're all going to have to just be realistic about their interests. And to use that northern route, they're going to have to be friends with Russia. Another aspect of this is that the Russian Arctic, Siberia, the top of Russia, they've done extensive surveys. They know about tremendous mineral wealth that's up there, you know, and gas and oil fields. They know it's there. They've done the surveys, but it's been out of reach. It's very difficult building railroads across some of this wild Arctic regions. Huge mountains like in Kamchatka, just, you know, like Alaska level mountains, permafrost, rivers that are frozen most of the time. So you can't really use them for much shipping. But if suddenly this northern Siberia coast is open year round, they're going to build these mega projects to exploit this untapped mineral wealth and gas and oil. And you know who's going to pay for it? China. China is also building icebreakers to go along with Russia's icebreakers. Because this is, you know, the future is in the Arctic. And meanwhile, what's America doing? We're getting ready to buy some icebreakers from Finland. Freaking Finland. We can't even, and the icebreaker that Finland is going to sell us is like half the size of that Russian nuclear icebreaker. Half the size. It's like a glorified Great Lakes icebreaker. So it can't open up the Canadian Arctic to do anything useful with it compared to what the Russians are going to be able to bring in terms of merchant ships passing from Europe to Asia and in terms of building, you know, new construction projects to take out that mineral wealth. And why am I saying this? you won't see this in American media because it's all like, yo, we got the greatest military. You know, we're the, you know, we're the exceptional nation. We, you know, we're the superpower. The world is passing us by. If you look at the number of engineers and STEM graduates that Iran, Russia, and China are graduating every year, it's putting us way in the distance, way in the distance. The world is passing us by. You know, we're leading in things like military spending, but in terms of what we're getting for it, we bought a gold-plated, obsolete 20th century military with it that can't sustain even a war against Iran. And the modern world invested in missiles and icebreakers and these giant projects, pipelines, railroads, you know, a railroad from Iran to China. There are gas pipelines connecting Russia to China now. We blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. America did, I'm convinced, to cut Europe off from the inexpensive Russian gas. So yay us, we did that. Well, guess where the cheap Russian gas is going now? To Chinese factories on pipelines. So I don't know how to wake up, you know, our politicians. I think that it's maybe a hopeless cause. I mean, we've got Mitch McConnell. Nobody knows if he's alive or dead. I mean, it's literally weekend at Bernie's and how they're running the Congress. It's just so that they can push these bills through, like the bill joining the American and Israeli militaries and intelligence arms, fusing them together, you know, things like that. I'm pretty pessimistic right now at this point, I've got to tell you. I mean, I don't see a happy way out of this, but you know, Americans just want to hear good news, wave the flag, everything's great. Or maybe it's like, okay, well, now it's the $20 burrito, you're just spoiled and lazy. So we're kind of getting to the point of just fighting generation to generation, culture to culture, race to race in our own country. And meanwhile, other countries are forging ahead. I think Europe and America are on a real poor trajectory at this point. It kind of reminds me of the end of the British Empire. You know, when they were coasting on fumes for decades and decades into the 20th century, they once had the greatest navy in the world. And after World War II, they had pretty much hocked and sold their colonial possessions. The Suez Crisis in the 50s with them in France, that was sort of their Iran war moment when they were revealed to be third-rate powers, which is sort of what's happening to America right now, for the whole world to see. But Britain was fortunate because they could just pass the baton to their cousins from across the pond, America. So we could take over for Britain in the middle of the 20th century. But I don't know who we're going to pass the baton to, because I think the baton is going to be held by China and Russia, and they'll be allied with Iran. And, you know, that whole network will be connected with railroads. They won't even need to ship that much around the Suez Canal. They'll just put it on a train from Moscow to Tehran to Beijing. Will just be a train ride, one train after the other. And I wish I had happier news, but I think we've got the wrong people in charge. And when you put on Fox News and it's still like Fantasy Island with these generals that haven't woken up, that it's not 1991 anymore, that we're like out of ideas, out of ammunition, out of technology. Anyway, so also something else to keep your eye on is in Ireland. I don't know this. This is, I've been seeing this for a couple of months, little leaks about a thing called the new IRA. It's a total op. It's a total false flag discrediting op. When you see it, know what it is. It's a completely bogus thing. The last thing anybody in Ireland would do in terms of making a group that was against mass immigration into Ireland is call it the new IRA. It's the last thing. Number one, it immediately alienates all the Protestants in Ireland, north and south, obviously mostly in the north. They're automatically against it. It would be like somebody in America coming up with the idea for an anti-immigration group and calling it the new KKK. It's just toxic. Any group that was legit about anti-immigration, the last thing they're going to do is put on black balaclavas, you know, with a tricolor behind them and guns on a table and declare that they're the new IRA. This is absolutely a discrediting up. It's designed to lure people in, to get them to sign up for, you know, less toxic websites that are related, to collect information on people. It's designed to make anybody in Ireland who is against mass immigration appear to be linked to a terrorist group. Don't fall for it. The video that they put out a couple months ago with the guns on the table, my friends and I, we recognize the guns. Those are training guns used by, you know, by British in Ireland to train people on foreign weapons. It's like a G3? Are you serious? The new IRA has got, you know, like MP5 and G3 laying on the table. I mean, are you serious? It's a complete false flag. Don't go for it. I'm not saying, you know, that there won't be some group. I'm writing a book about it at the time, about future events in Ireland. But don't for a minute fall for this new IRA thing. And the way that it just exploded over this weekend, you know, it would be like you never heard of the new KKK, but suddenly it's on every channel, you know, with guys in masks threatening to kill migrants. It's completely bogus, so don't fall for it. All right, in the time I've got, you know, I sell my books. That's how I make a living, some of it. And my first and my last book, Enemies Foreign and Domestic. Some people, I've got new followers. They've never heard of me, never seen me. Yes, my books are on Kindle and Audible on Amazon. You can get them there, but I almost have to pay Amazon now for books that I send them. It's such a joke. But I do sell them myself, and if you like the sound of my voice, I don't know why you would. You can get my books on Amazon, Audible, and Kindle. And pretty soon I should have a new book, at least out on Kindle. But I don't know when I'll be on again. I hope that wiser minds in the Pentagon and the White House can get to President Trump and convince him this war was a mistake. It is a mistake. But the only thing that can make it worse is to launch another wave of attacks. It's best right now to just back away, pretend that the strait opened on itself, remove the U.S. secondary blockade, don't announce it, just slowly fade it into the background, take credit for more ships coming out, say Trump's great strategy worked, and then we'll all just pretend that this never happened. We'll just put it down the memory hole. But if the morons like Keane and Kellogg can convince Trump to go for another round of bombing, I think it's going to be a total disaster. It's going to everything that's happened before now will be like nothing compared to what happens next. Okay, I'm pretty much wrung out. It's you don't know how hard it is to sit here for one solid hour looking at a camera. It's nice having guests, let me tell you. So I watch a lot of podcasts, and it's pretty tough doing this solo. Adios.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.